93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday, May 30th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia 76ers team president Brian Colangelo is denying a report connecting the executive to Twitter accounts that criticize Sixers players Joel Embiid, Markel Fultz, and other NBA figures. The accounts also took aim at Sixers general manager Sam Hinkie and former Sixers players Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, according to a report by The Ringer.
Did you hear that one of his accounts was Hope Solo's butthole?
No!
And it was like, oh my God. Man, I could not believe it, but it all made sense.
Yes, that's not him.
No.
Could you imagine?
All the years we've been going back and forth with at Hope Solo's butthole, and it's him.
But listen, with this, you know, and he's saying that it isn't the case that one of the accounts is indeed his that he uses to kind of monitor things that are going on in a sort of anonymous way. But I wouldn't doubt that this is done regularly.
Of course.
Criticizing, saying things that you can't say publicly, and just to say it. I just don't have.
Well, I'm not an idiot, so I don't do it.
We're going to talk about it later, but Roseanne could still be on the air.
I'm saying, Marissa.
Yeah.
It has a name. It's called a burner account.
A burner account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
People have multiple.
It's like a burner
there we
phone.
Go. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I could see, you know, a CEO maybe doing this or an owner that wants to, you know, kind of criticize even though they can't do it. You know what I mean? It's just, to be honest,
what was so crazy is that when this came out, the thought hadn't even occurred to me that someone
would do that.
Sort of use that as whatever way it is, to exactly what you're talking about, that means to that end.
Well, I
kind of want to gently border collie employees by, you know, criticizing, or, you know, to have a little bit of control with some anonymity.
Right. I think this had happened earlier. Was it with Roger Goodell's wife? I think it was some sort of commissioner's wife. I'm pretty sure it was the NFL commissioner's wife who had a burner account. She had a burner account, and she was going defending her husband and, you know, all this sort of stuff.
It was her.
And it was her, but it wasn't under her name. It was under a different name.
Preston, as a fan of Billy Jack, you would know I had a Bernard account.
Bernard.
Which was one of the characters.
But, I mean, here you are. Now he's saying it's not him, but you are the owner. You're in charge. You're the boss.
Yes.
You make the calls.
You
can criticize from directly to the person if you want to.
I guess there's like a little bit of safety and anonymity. And that's what the approach is. Yeah, and this is, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but I had a friend whose now ex-wife did this in a way to try to stalk him a little bit.
So, Nick, it's sort of tactically passive-aggressive,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That you can, I can see it. Yeah. I'm just amazed the thought of doing that had never occurred to me because I just like, okay, Twitter itself is a conduit for how you feel.
Yeah.
But then within that, doing, you know what I'm saying?
Anonymously.
Listen, if you got that much money, and this is indeed the case, pay a therapist.
Yes.
And tell them. Yeah. Tell them everything you want to say, but you're not really allowed to say.
Again, he's denying.
I know.
Saying, yes, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He's denying some of it.
Yeah.
Not all of
it. Right.
There are some.
Hope Solo's butthole is his.
Yes. He's denying all of the stuff that criticizes the players.
Yeah. Laser Wang and Hope Solo's butthole.
Really?
He hasn't commented yet. Yes. The website asked the team about 5 Twitter accounts it suspected Colangelo was operating. He said in a statement he used one of the accounts to monitor the NBA industry and other current events, but that he was not familiar with any of the other accounts brought to his attention, and he didn't know who was behind them or what their motive may be in using them.
Oh, wait a second, Kathy. He's also Bill Western's hair.
Yeah. That has an account. I forgot about that.
I mean, can we just go back to the videos of Joel Embiid dunking on people in the playgrounds of South Philly?
Like, it still exists.
That was better Sixers news.
Embiid told ESPN on Tuesday night that Colangelo called him and denied the article. The 24-year-old center also tweeted that he didn't believe the story. That would just be insane, he wrote. Colangelo was hired as president of basketball operations for Philadelphia in April of 2016. He also served as Toronto's general manager from 2006 to 2013. Investigators are saying that the mysterious booms that have been rattling people in Upper Bucks County and Lehigh counties are explosions. Mm. But they don't know yet who is setting them off, and they're asking for the public's help in trying to catch the person.
Damn.
They were showing, did you see on the news, they were showing craterous holes that they believe were blast sites.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, they're finding the locations, and that's why they were able to determine that they believe they're explosions.
Are they on private land? Or
one of them was actually sort of just off a rural road.
Oh, so maybe somebody's tossing something out of a car.
Could be. Yeah.
Did you guys hear the recordings of it?
I did not.
Here, we got it right here.
Let's go.
There it is.
Investigators said that there have been more than 20 explosions that have occurred between 1 and 4:30 a.m. in both Upper Bucks and Lehigh counties. They say no one has been injured, but they are attempting to prevent someone from accidentally getting hurt, including the individual or individuals who are responsible. State police are being assigned by the FBI and the ATF in the investigation. Officials are asking everyone to remain vigilant and pay attention to events or people around you. They ask if you see anything, no matter how small it might be, to call 1-800-426-TIPS. Two police officers in Wildwood have been reassigned to administrative duty while investigators try to figure out if excessive force was used against a young woman who cops say was resisting arrest. A viral video from Sunday shows one officer punching 20-year-old Philadelphia resident Emily Weinman in the head at least twice while the other officer secured her legs. Wildwood Mayor Ernie Aturiano said the Cape May County Prosecutor's Office is reviewing the footage, which has been seen on Twitter more than 6 million times.
Wow.
The mayor says that he hopes the investigation will be completed by the end of the week. Weinman is facing numerous charges after the incident, including aggravated assault for spitting on a police officer and resisting arrest. But police say the video only shows part of the scuffle. Police say that Weinman was caught underage drinking and also kicked the cop in his crotch when he demanded she hand over her ID.
You shouldn't do that. She's assaulting a cop. You know, and at some point when people are resisting, you have to do what you got to do to get them under control and in custody. So yeah. I'm interested to see the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think one of the comments, I don't know if this is an exact quote, but don't you have anything better to do? It's like you're underage drinking on that's what the cop's supposed to do.
That's his job. That's their job.
But obviously, you know, that's where these body cameras, you know, the footage is going to come in handy.
Sure. Yeah. Now, apparently, this isn't the first time that Weinman has been in trouble. Court records show in 2017, she pleaded guilty to a simple assault charge in Philadelphia. Mm. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies beat the Dodgers 6-1 last night in Los Angeles.
They did it!
Jake Arrieta pitched his third scoreless outing this May, helping the Phillies end a four-game losing streak at Dodger Stadium and win in L.A. for the first time since 2016. Arrieta improved to 5-2, gave up 6 hits over 7 innings while striking out 5. In 5 starts in May, Arrieta gave up a combined 3 earned runs and had an ERA of .90. The series and the road trip out west continues tonight, and Zach Eflin will get the start for the Phillies. Game time is at 10:10. The NBA Finals are set, and for the fourth year in a row, the Golden State Warriors will play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game 1 is tomorrow night in Oakland, and tip-off is at 9 o'clock. Villanova guard Dante DiVincenzo announced that he will sign with an agent and keep his name in the NBA draft. He won the Final Four Most Outstanding Player and helped lead the Wildcats to a national championship. He scored 31 points in Villanova's title game win over Michigan after finishing with 15 points and eight rebounds against Kansas in the semifinals. The Stanley Cup Finals continue tonight as the Vegas Golden Knights will look to go up 2-0 over the Washington Capitals. Puck drops in Las Vegas at 8 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. And we're excited because today is Wednesday. It's our first day back to work. 3-day work week is a nice thing. We thank you for letting us slide for a day there, an extra day. Get a 4-day weekend. And I hope everybody had a restful and enjoyable weekend.
I did. Yeah, I did. It was enjoyable. Honestly, the longer weekends do a better job reviving me than a long vacation. And I do enjoy long vacations. But I tend to relax more.
It's a nice, it's a welcome little chunk of time. So we're happy, and hopefully you are as well. So we have some things to get to. New Word of the Week prize this week. It's only going to take you 3 letters to win this. We have a trip for 2 to the premiere of the WB's Tag, which is coming on Thursday, June 7th. Yeah. And this will be, we're sending you to Westwood, California for it. The movie looks funny. It's based on a true story.
Yes.
These guys that had this ongoing game of tag. They lived in different places around the country. We've talked about it, and it dragged on for years and years and years.
Yes.
And they would pop up in places like, you know, in the trunk of a car, at the airport, and they jump
on Tropical Vacations,
you.
Yeah.
So there's really a good cast, too. Ed Helms, Jake Johnson, Hannibal Buress, Isla Fisher, a whole bunch of people in it. And we have a trip to go see that. And you only need three letters, and bang, you're done, man.
Awesome.
We'll give that away on Friday. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today. And, all right, let me get my bearings straight here, because we have a couple of things to do. We have the coolest teacher of the year. So last week when we were at Keenan's on Friday, we had announced the school that we had chosen from the day before, which was on Thursday. And that was Mr. Anthony, and I messed up his name.
Mizkowski.
Yeah. From LaSalle College High School.
Yes.
So at some point we're going to be speaking with him. Today, hopefully. And,
yes.
And thanking him.
He deserves his shot.
Absolutely. He's a science teacher and the crew coach. And now we have to announce the school that we had mentioned on Friday. And they got all these extra days to vote because we took a long weekend. But the school was Haddonfield Memorial High School.
Yes.
And we do indeed have someone who has been named the coolest teacher of the year. And that teacher.
Yes.
Is an English teacher. And it's Mr. Sean Thomas. Yes. Coolest teacher of the year at Haddonfield Memorial High School. Congratulations to you, Mr. Thomas. The kids think you did an awesome job, and that's a wonderful thing. And we just give you this little token of our appreciation and their appreciation. We'll give you a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card.
Nice.
We will give you the coveted Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. And we're also going to throw in $50 cash from our friends at Godshall's Turkey Bacon. We'll give you some bacon in there, too. So congratulations to you, sir. And we wouldn't mind hearing from you as well, Mr. Sean Thomas, and hear what it is that's so cool about you that the kids decided to vote. So congratulations. And we'll hopefully talk to those pipples today. Now we need to draw another one, right?
Yes, and that's you.
That's me.
You. I get to do it. So in most cases now, what are we looking at? Two and a half weeks more?
Yeah.
School?
I know that our school district has like, it might be 9 or 10 school days left.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's it, man. So the light is at the end of the tunnel.
I'm fairly certain that my nephew, who goes to St. Joe's Prep, is done.
Wow.
Now?
I could have sworn he said yesterday was
And that's the way it used to be, Steve. Memorial Day weekend, remember?
Back
in our day.
Back in our day.
That's the way it used to be. All right, let me check him out.
Come on!
He's sitting here. He's got the lid on it. All right, hang on.
Nanapuyah.
Son of a bitch.
All right, you thought we were done with that.
Yeah. No.
That's what it means, son of a bitch.
All right. I have a slip of paper. Let me open the slip of paper, and I will read this name.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Hallahan Catholic Girls High School.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know what we need?
Yeah, I got you.
Do you have it?
I got it.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Oh, no.
I thought you were talking about Brittany Fox.
Oh, you can, but there's a song called Catholic Schoolgirls Rule from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, that's a great song.
Marissa will have to find that. By the way, Hallahan Catholic Girls High School is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I was thinking Catholic High School Girls in Trouble. You remember that?
What is that from?
That's from, Kentucky Fried Movie.
Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, listen. Hallahan Catholic Girls High School. It is up to you to let us know who the coolest teacher of the year has been. It's very, very simple to do. All you have to do is text word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. It is important that you follow that format because it puts everything, it funnels everything into a specific folder, and that way we can count the votes and get ourselves a winner. So once again, Hallahan Catholic Girls High School in Philadelphia. Text word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number. Yes, Nick.
The school's mascot is Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
What?
You would need approval to do that,
not
right?
Not unless Minnie Mouse had gone there and was a legacy.
Interesting. I have good news. Our coolest teacher from last week is on the line now. Yay! And we can talk to him. It was, LaSalle College High School, and we would like to welcome Mr. Anthony Mizkowski. I butchered the name to the show this morning.
Whatever.
Hi, how are you?
Anthony, please do tell. How do you say your name?
Okay, well, it's Mizkowski.
Mizkowski! Couldn't be easier.
Got it.
But everybody calls me Mr. Mitch.
Mr. Mitch! Much easier. Nice. All right, how long have you been teaching at LaSalle?
This will be my 8th year at LaSalle.
Okay, and it says here, science teacher and crew coach as well. By the way, what are you teaching in science?
I teach chemistry and biology.
My son is taking chem. He's getting ready for his chem final. Ugh. It is insanely complex.
It is.
Not everybody's a big fan of the area of chem.
I'm telling you, he told me something yesterday. He's doing it's focusing on nuclear chemistry right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And he reads a problem to me, and the look on my face, I swear to God, he literally goes, I'm speaking another language to you, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, dude.
Don't worry. For about 9 months of the year, I have that face for a while.
Yeah. but you instruct, and then by the end of it, they're absolutely up to speed on chemistry,
exactly,
right?
Exactly right. They're all nuclear physicists.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what, my older brother, he's a chemist. That's his job. Research chemist. And his love for chemistry started in high school.
Boom.
Boom.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So what is it why do you think everybody voted for you? I mean, you have to have a really cool relationship with the game.
Preston, I got to tell you, the biggest thing that at LaSalle, we really focus a lot on the relationship with our students and how much we put our students before everything else. So I just do my best every day to put my own students before me and everything that I do, and I hope to do my best every day for them. So,
well, clearly you are doing that.
I'm hoping.
Yes,
I'm
hoping. Because you're a coolest teacher, and that is very cool in and of itself. And now you can have a big piping hot mug of bacon.
this mug, I've been waiting for this mug for a long time.
That's great.
I'll be walking around all next year, I got to tell you.
Excellent.
You
know,
I actually got a text from a neighbor of mine, Mark Kelly, who was going on and on about how awesome you are. And you coach his son Liam and crew. By the way, if you have a crew team, he said that you're a great coach. Where do you go and row? I mean, this is a hockey field.
We row right off of Boathouse Row at Boathouse number 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Right at the very end of Boathouse.
You're doing the full deal.
Yeah, the full deal. Yeah. We had a great season. The first time we won the Philadelphia Catholic League Championship in 20 years.
Hey. Hey. Wow. Yes.
I had money on that.
So My neighbor rows for LaSalle as well. His
really?
Name is Owen. Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
nice.
It's good
okay.
to have neighbors.
We have a couple Owens. So
Owen Hankley.
Owen Hankley. Yeah, he was a senior this year. He just graduated. Well, he'll be graduating this weekend, I should say.
That's great.
He's nice. The captain of our team.
All right, excellent.
Hey, Anthony, what are you going to do this summer? Any plans?
I kind of do a little bit of all the same thing. I coach actually 8th and 7th graders to teach them how to row, and I also do our 8th and 7th grade science program at LaSalle. So I'll be busy.
Dude, take a break for crying out loud. You're a teacher.
I will. I'll do my very best.
So. All right. All right. Well, listen, congratulations. Just a little token.
Hey, Preston, can I say one thing to you guys?
Sure.
I just wanted to say, thank you guys for all that you've done. Like, you guys have no idea, whether for the teachers and for myself, you guys really get us through our day and everything. I just cannot thank you enough.
Oh, that's so
really,
cool.
You guys do a lot for us.
Oh, you're the best, man. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Mitch, guys.
Yeah.
Anthony Michkowski. Congratulations. Have a great summer. Hang on the line. And we will take care of you with all the little tchotchkes that we have. It's just a thank you. So now it is up to Hallahan Catholic Girls High School. And that is in Philadelphia. And like I said, you need to text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. That's Hallahan Catholic Girls High School.
Oh, this is it.
We have to have this at the ready because the first line of the song pretty much says it all. It's right here. Let's take a break. We will come back in just a moment. I got the entertainment report, a couple of bombshells in there for you, and we'll do a stupid question, do some giveaways. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask our stupid question. Then we're going to talk to our coolest teacher.
All right.
And then I'm going to get you the birthdays, and then we'll get the answer to the stupid question. All right. So,
all right.
This is an interesting one. What fresh fruit, and I only have one of my, I have a multiple choice here, but let's see if you can figure it out. What fresh fruit, if placed in Jell-O, will prevent it from setting?
Fresh fruit, if placed in Jell-O, will prevent it from setting? So you have the liquid form of Jell-O that you're waiting to set.
Yeah.
If you place this fresh fruit in it, it will not set.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
That's interesting.
215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you can.
I want to try this.
All right, let's see. Have your call right now. All right, so coolest teacher, yes. We had announced earlier this morning, not only we had to make good on Mr. Michkowski over at LaSalle College High School, but another school that got to vote for an extended amount of time was Haddonfield Memorial High School, and we now have the coolest teacher. It is Mr. Sean Thomas, who is on the line now. Good morning, Mr. Thomas.
Hey, good morning. Hey. Thanks so much, guys.
What's that?
He said, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Hey, listen, I know you had to get on now because you guys have your standardized testing that's going on this week. So we appreciate you squeaking in a phone call real quick. What subject do you teach?
I teach English.
And
English.
English. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Have we had a few English teachers?
Yes, we've had. Yeah. I think this will be our third.
I don't know, but it's a lot of English and a lot of science teachers.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I hated English in high school. Absolutely. How do you make it interesting for students, Sean?
So for me, it's trying to get the kids as excited about books and talking about books as possible, especially for the kids who don't really like reading. So I'll bring in some sort of unorthodox text into the classroom. I brought in The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller.
Very nice.
The Watchmen by Alan Moore.
See, you're hitting right in our zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also added Ready Player One to the summer reading list. And some kids told me it was the best book they ever read. Kids who ordinarily wouldn't like English told me it was the best book they ever read.
See, Preston, you would have done quite well in his class.
Yeah. I mean, I had a hard time with Julius Caesar. Won't argue with you there.
Ready Caesar One?
Ready Caesar One? That would have been all over.
Yeah,
that.
It would have been great.
Yeah. Et tu, Pac-Man?
But the whole goal is to make them think gooder, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Sean, how long have you been teaching at Haddonfield?
This is my fourth year.
Fourth year. Wow, so a fairly new teacher. Are you? Do you have seniors in your class?
Unfortunately, not this year. Although it's nice because the freshmen that I taught when I came in are now graduating. So it's kind of.
Yeah.
You've got to see the whole process. Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, there's a critical point in someone's life.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is a nice little gesture that the students want to pass along to you. Did you lobby a little bit for Coolest Teacher, or did it just happen?
I did lobby, yeah.
That's why they're reading Ready Player One.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, and 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Exactly. I became a teacher to get this award, so... Yeah.
Nice. Right. Well, your phone line's breaking up, unfortunately, but we're gonna make sure we set you up with the goods. We have the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug. We have a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Of course, that makes a great gift for teachers. I want to remind you of that. And our friends from Godshall's are going to give you $50 and some free turkey bacon as well.
That also makes a great gift for teachers.
Yes.
It does.
There you go. Listen, have a great summer, Mr. Thomas, and we appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, Mr.
Thomas. Haddonfield Memorial High School. And up next is Casey says I should just call it Hallahan.
Yeah, Hallahan.
In Philly. I don't have to say Hallahan's Girls Catholic High School or Catholic Girls High School. All right, so you guys get your next up. All right, some birthdays. Let me go through these quickly because we have a lot to get to, and then we got to get an answer to the stupid question. It is Tom Morello's birthday today on the 30th day of Wednesday of Rage Against the Machine and Audio Slave. He is 54. We've had a chance to talk to him a few times over the years.
Of all the ragers, he rages just a little bit less.
Yeah.
Seems to enjoy life a little bit now and then.
Yeah.
I can't argue with his innovation with the guitar.
That's the thing, Steve.
Yeah,
He took the guitar and he made it do something new, which is difficult to do. So happy birthday to Tom Morello, who is 54 years old today. CeeLo Green, the singer from Gnarls Barkley.
The hell happened there?
He did F You, or Forget You, as it eventually turned into. But he is 44 years old today. You have actor Calm Meany.
Yes.
Steve, Deep Space Nine, yes. Star Trek. He was Chief O'Brien. And he was also in The Commitments and Con Air. And he's like that guy. You're like, guy's in that.
I'm fairly certain he was in, because he was filming here in Philadelphia for, was it Law Abiding Citizen? I'm not really sure that's what it was.
Might have been, yeah.
So he's 65 today. Then you have Manny Ramirez, the baseball player, suspended for suspected steroid use back in the day. He's 46 today. And, Steve, I saved the last one for you.
Oh.
It's Keir DeLay's birthday.
Oh.
Keir DeLay, 2001 A Space Odyssey's Dave, obviously. He was here in our studio. Just a pleasant, super-duper nice guy, man.
And a few of the interviews we've been conducting lately, because it's the 20th anniversary of the show, that was a big moment for me because he is directly connected to one of my favorite memories with my father. So seeing that movie was one of the great bonding experiences of my life, and I told him about it, and he signed my Blu-ray.
And I just saw him last night, Stevie, at a fairly small role in Fahrenheit 451, the remake.
Ah, okay.
With
Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon. I liked it. It was cool. I've never read the book, and I didn't see the original movie, so I was happy to finally see find out what the story was all about.
I love the book. I love the original movie. I'll have to check this one out.
Yeah. So he's celebrating his 82nd birthday. And then, actually, I saw another one, Nick, if you could go back to the front screen on IMDb. Is it? It's Idina Menzel's birthday today.
Wow.
Elsa.
She's sexy.
She is sexy.
Yeah.
And, man, can that woman sing. She has got a serious Broadway voice on her.
She's in the movie version of Rent, and she was in the original Broadway version?
She was, yeah. She's on the original soundtrack to that film.
She was also, I think, the original in Wicked, which I saw. Okay. I don't know her. Like, the name is like Elphaba or something like that. Elphaba.
Ultima Cosmetics.
I wish I would have seen her. Optimus Prime.
That's it.
And Wicked.
Well, she's hot. And she's celebrating
a Transformer
birthday today. So happy birthday to Idina Menzel. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. In Jell-O, what fresh fruit, if added to it, will prevent it from setting? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go to Shannon. Hi, Shannon. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Shannon, do you know the answer? What fresh fruit will keep Jell-O from setting?
Is it pineapple?
Yeah, pineapple. Whoa!
What the hell?
And I see another person on hold that says kiwi or mango might do that as well. I didn't know. It must be the acidity level in it or something. But Shannon, you got it correct. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information, and we are going to take care of you with some tickets to see Tammy Pescatelli at Helium Comedy Club. Should be there this Friday at 7:30. Get tickets at heliumcomedy.com. All right, let's get right into it. I'm sure you've heard by now, but Roseanne Barr issued a shocking series of tweets Monday night and Tuesday before quitting the social media service. In response, ABC has canceled the reboot of her show. It is over.
So when I saw the news pop up, I gasped only because now they had no option know what she tweeted out. However, the show was huge for ABC. It debuted, it was 18 million viewers. In this day and age, is unheard of.
I've been watching it, and when I heard this, I mean, she's an idiot, but I was bummed because I was really enjoying it.
The show has been good. I really was not that much a fan of the original go-around.
Yeah. See, I
found her incredibly annoying.
And I was hesitant to watch this one because, you know, like Will and Grace and all that, they're good, you know. But I started watching this and I was laughing out loud. She did a good, and even as far as politics go on the show, the first episode, she let both voices be heard. There was kind of like digs on both sides, and it was funny.
She was. And she's done some things. Like in her earlier show, she was one of the first people to put a gay relationship on. Remember, I think it was Sandra Bernhardt. Yeah, the comedian, right?
Yeah.
And all this stuff. But she, Preston, we were talking about this. She must have been lit up or something.
There was something
during this series of treats.
She's making some claims, and I'll get to some of that. But
Hope Solo's butthole?
No, it wasn't Hope Solo's butthole. But I mean, we talk about she's a moron. She's an idiot. I mean, and it's not because I don't align with her politically or socially. It's because you ought to know better of what and especially when you're the figurehead of a where a group of people work together, mm-hmm. and you're going to potentially put that in.
They all lost their jobs.
They lost their
jobs. And we're not talking about the star, even just the stars. We're talking about craft services.
Sure.
We're talking about every security. We're talking the people who rely on this.
Whatever it is.
Which
yeah.
she's remorseful. And also to her point, but she doesn't align with herself politically. She's been all over the place. She's been left, far left. She ran as a Green Party candidate. You know, she was trying to go get elected president. So she's been all over the place. But she crossed the line. ABC would look horrific if they tried to work through this one.
So among the allegations she made in her tweets, false claiming that Chelsea Clinton is married to George Soros' nephew, repeating the false rumor that Soros is a Nazi sympathizer, and lacing into President Obama's former White House advisor, Valerie Jarrett. And this is where the really inflammatory
shot.
Stuff mm-hmm. came out, claiming that she's connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. One tweet said, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ, meaning Valerie Jarrett. And that obviously was it. She was called out for being racist. She had tweeted, and in response, she tweeted, Muslims are not a race. So she was staying on top of it. Channing Dungay, the president of ABC Entertainment, said, Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we have decided to cancel the show.
And then he added another statement saying, president, and he said, it's not like anyone would watch it if it was just John Goodman, would they?
Yeah. Barr then later had said the first tweet was a joke. Soon after, she apologized, tweeting, I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and all to all Americans. I am truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive me. My joke was in bad taste. Several social media users and celebrities obviously immediately called for her ouster from ABC. But her Twitter timeline shows that before and after asking fans to not defend her, she did retweet messages suggesting that her critics are hypocritical or otherwise defending her original racist remarks. Then she seemed to defend herself or at least try to explain why she acted the way she did. She had said it was 2 a.m. and I was Ambien tweeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So,
here's the deal, though. You can think what you want.
You can
say it out loud in your house. But when people rely on employment because of a show that you're a part of, 21 years after the show goes off, it comes back, it's gigantic. It's bigger than it was the first time around. Melissa, by the way, Melissa Gilbert, right?
Yeah.
Sarah Gilbert.
Sarah Gilbert. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She was the one who, you know, started the ball rolling on this and producing this. And so all these people are connected to this thing, you know, and it, you know, as like I said, there's a moment in time you can't take back. And that's mm-hmm. and Twitter, whether it's Twitter or Ambien or whatever, mm-hmm. you see it countless times come back. Joy Reid just had this thing, the MSNBC anchor person and political pundit, where she's been going back and forth on a Twitter history, and that stuff was from years ago. You gotta watch it. It will come around to bite you in the ass.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think Sarah Gilbert is one of the producers, and she, you know, issued a statement. It was basically like, come
duh.
On. Like this
what
is
what am I
not,
gonna do?
Basically, the rest of the staff does not agree with this.
Yeah, verbatim, it said, Roseanne's recent comments about Valerie Jarrett are so much more and so much more are abhorrent and do not reflect the beliefs in our cast and crew or anyone associated with the show. I am disappointed in her actions, to say the least.
But then again, President, she puts hashtag totally agree, which I think is so hypocritical.
She didn't. By the way, reruns of the Roseanne revival scheduled to air on Viacom Networks, Paramount Network, TV Land and CMT will be pulled from their respective schedules as well. And reruns will be canceled on the three channels starting today.
Did you hear what they're replacing it with? Reruns of Cosby. I mean, it's just there.
That's insulting.
The calls
man.
Are so bad on this one.
So this will continue on.
She's going to be on Joe Rogan's
podcast on Friday. It's exactly what I was
Who,
about
Roseanne?
To say. Yeah. So Rogan's going to have her on. She'll be able to speak her mind then. We'll see what that yields, and I'm sure it'll be more. All right. Here's another bombshell. Kendall Jenner is dating Philadelphia 76er Ben Simmons, multiple sources tell Page wow. Six exclusively.
So I say this. Who has been a bigger defender of Kendall Jenner in this city than this show?
Yes.
And me specifically. And anyone who listens knows that. And knows that
that's
why both Kendall Jenner and Simmons need to come on the show.
When an insider familiar with the duo said the romance has been going on for a few weeks, another source
good for him
said the pair was was spotted this week on a lunch date at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and a third source said that Jenner and Simmons were...
We have a Beverly Hills Hotel here?
No, they were in Beverly Hills.
Oh, of course.
They were seen last week in Manhattan with a group of friends at the Clubby Bowery restaurant, Vandal. Listen, if one of our local sports stars is going to date a Jenner or, you know, in that family...
That's a good Jenner to go with.
That's a good one
yes.
to go with, I think.
So. Or Caitlin would have been great, too.
Oh, are you kidding
basketball.
Me? Yeah.
I've got a shake right.
Yeah. So anyhow, security, here's what a source said. Security measures seem to have been taken to ensure that Kendall and Ben enjoyed their night hassle-free. They were smiling the night away with their friends. Jenner is rebounding from another NBA star, former LA Clippers player Blake Griffin, who was traded to the Detroit Pistons. The pair was seen avoiding each other last month at music festival Coachella.
I need to ask a question. Are there any other men on the planet other than NBA stars?
Not for the Kardashians.
Yeah, right.
Well, or hip-hop stars.
Hip-hop stars.
Wait, and does this one have a kid?
Oh, I don't know. He's only 21.
No, her.
Oh, Kendall?
No, Kylie. No, Kylie. Okay. Kylie has a kid with a rapper, one that she started dating after Tyga. Yeah.
Which, by the way, this says the pair was seen avoiding each other last month at Coachella. So we saw them avoiding each other?
They weren't near each other.
What the hell does that
there
mean?
There are people in this city that I avoid on a daily basis.
I see you avoiding people.
I'm not okay with this, by the way. For the basketball gods, this is not good.
No, it's not.
The Kardashian circus that surrounds these people really bothers me, and I think it's a distraction.
Is this along the lines of a boxer not having sex while during training?
Kinda.
Okay.
Yeah, and
they have ruined.
I can't have sex with her. Well, Adrian, I can do that.
Yeah, we've talked about this whole Tristan Thompson Chloe thing, and people coming after Tristan. Because they're Chloe defenders, you know? And so if people start going after Ben Simmons when these two, I'm sorry, inevitably break up, then you're going to have, he's going to be distracted.
I think
by
Ben
it.
Is going to be very faithful to her because he's on our team. And that's what I believe.
Right.
And I believe that they right now are clearly listening online.
Yes.
And are considering coming in on the show.
By the way, Jenner spent Memorial Day weekend taking sexy bikini pictures with her and sister Courtney.
So did I.
But then met on Tuesday with the 6'10" point guard Simmons. On Monday, Simmons was seen arriving at LAX and told TMZ he'd be up for playing with LeBron James amid rumors that King James could leave the Cavaliers after this season to move to Philly. He said there's only one way to find out if it would work or not. So anyhow, we might have a Jenner / Kardashian in the family.
The question is, will it make it to the new season, because I'd like to see a couple of courtside spottings.
Yeah.
That raises a little
get her
more
in town.
Profile of Philadelphia.
Running to the Wawa up the street here.
Yeah.
Getting some cowtails.
All right, a couple other things. Emma Watson and Glee alum Cordova Street have split up after 6 months together.
Oh, man, not Cord.
I don't love you, according to a report. I don't love you?
Yeah, Cordova Street. That's a name.
Uh-huh. Is that a real name?
It's a real name.
What?
It's a real dumb name, but it's a name.
The pair met shortly after Watson's...
I'm going to name you Cord. This thing attached to the lamp.
No, it's C-H-O-R-D. Like a musical instrument.
Yes, exactly.
He's so stupid, he thinks it's...
spilled like the cord.
The pair met shortly after Watson's 2-year romance with Silicon Valley tech guru William Knight ended. While her spokesperson declined to comment, Watson has unfollowed Overstreet on social media. And
Hermione, that's a lady part, right?
And vice versa.
No.
No, it's not. Sorry. This is sad news. Former Deadliest Catch captain Blake Painter was found dead at his home in Oregon. Yeah,
he's had drug issues.
He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
Painter apparently appeared on the Discovery Channel series in 2006 and 2007. Police reportedly testing several substances found at the scene of his death to find out if they contain narcotics. So he's had issues before.
Yeah, in fact, he had fallen asleep at the captain's chair. Wow. I think it was, I never saw it if it was on an episode, but I remember it being reported on that he had had, a drug reaction and basically passed out while piloting the boat.
That's not good.
It's deadly enough to begin with.
No foul play has been suspected.
How old was he? He was really young.
38.
Jeez, man.
So with the death, we have the opposite of this.
Yes.
America Ferrara has welcomed her first child.
Ah.
Ryan Pierce Williams.
I love you.
I love that. Can you do that with the reverb on?
I love you.
She shared.
Kendall.
She shared on social media Tuesday, when two become three. She captioned a sweet shot of the baby's little foot. And she wrote, "Welcome, Sebastian Piers Williams, a.k.a. Boz."
I wondered what the hell this picture was when I first saw it. I actually first thought it was a bunghole. I did.
So we're looking at the picture. It looks like both parents' hands cupped underneath and then the foot in there somewhere.
So in the lower right, bunghole.
There's a lot of folds and holes and things like that in that picture. You're right, Steve.
They're trying to be artistic, but...
They gave it a shot.
Yeah, they tried.
Yeah. Speaking of babies, Josh Brolin and Katherine Boyd are expecting their first child together. He shared on Instagram.
How is Josh Brolin in Deadpool?
He's great.
Yep.
I do enjoy his, his rendition of Cable. And obviously they have a lot of fun with it, with the Deadpool style. But he was great in it. They're expecting their first child there, and they shared a picture on Instagram and said, "There's a new sheriff in town, and she's no bigger than a sweet potato. Hang on to your hats." And it was a series of the mom-to-be on a hike. The Deadpool 2 star, who is 50, by the way, has two grown children from his previous marriage. He has a daughter, Eden, who's 28, and son, Trevor, who turns 30 next month.
Was his ex-wife Diane Ladd? Were they ever married?
Diane Lane.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at
She's
all.
She's stunning.
I don't know if they were married or just dated.
Just dating.
Okay. Right. So he's got a baby on the way. Gwyneth Paltrow and fiancé Brad Falchuk are kicking off their summer party at the Not Yet Open for Normals Four Seasons Costa Palmas.
I love you.
That's a party when you can't even say the place that it's at. You know?
Yeah.
That's a party. A luxury resort on the western coast of Mexico. And nobody,
like, for me, it's easy. Wendy's.
But nobody's there yet. I mean, like, it's not open for people. They allowed...
Get the door stuck.
The 45-year-old star shared a scenic photo on front of a beautiful waterfall, captioning it Green Lagoon.
Hmm.
Zack Snyder has announced his post-Justice League project. Stevie's going to adapt Ayn Rand's 1943 novel, The Fountainhead.
Interesting.
Yeah, the novel is cited as one of Paul Ryan and Donald Trump's favorites and follows a young architect who refuses to conform to expectations. I was curious if any of Ayn Rand's, if they had, Atlas Shrugged or...
They actually did. They actually had lower rent movie versions of it out about 4 or 5 years ago, I believe, of The Fountainhead.
Oh, okay.
And it's never gotten the full deal. I've read it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's sort of used as it's described as sort of a foundational book on conservatism and, there are a number of people like Paul Ryan you mentioned, but the book itself reads pretty well.
Snyder has been gunning to do the project for years. He told The Hollywood Reporter in 2016, "I've been working on The Fountainhead. I've always felt like The Fountainhead was such a thesis on the creative process and what it is to create something."
Zack Snyder's a really good director. He really is. And I would love to see the full Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League, because there's like another hour's worth of footage that exists out there that no one's seen.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like what happened with Batman v Superman.
Warner Brothers owns Ayn Rand's script, and he said, "I've just been working on that a little bit." It was adapted in 1949 by King Vidor.
Yep.
And starred Gary Cooper and Patricia Neal.
I never saw that one. They did a remake, though. There was another version of it.
Well, just as Maleficent 2 starts production, Robert Lindsay and Chiwetel Ejiofor are confirmed as joining the cast.
Did you say George Goober Lindsay?
No, I didn't say George Goober Lindsay.
Oh, sorry.
Who's that?
Goober from
from Mayberry.
Yeah, I heard Lindsay. I didn't miss the first part.
No, they're joining the cast, top line by Angelina Jolie and Elle Fanning. Jolie and Fanning are reprising their roles as the Dark Fairy and Princess Aurora, respectively.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
it's magical, and it's the way a classic fairy tale should be done.
Some cool dark moments in it too.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then finally, the. I know it's coming. The premiere of season 14 of The Bachelorette.
I love you. I love you.
On ABC Monday was the lowest in the show's history.
Yeah.
Down 22% over last season's premiere. But But competition was stiff as it was the final day of the Memorial Day weekend holiday and game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Why would you put it up against that?
I don't know.
I find the positioning. I actually remember we were going over the audio of this bizarre thing that led to her being the bachelorette and how she was passed over ultimately, and that then they had that camera rolling in her house or whatever house they were at when they got into a fight, blah, blah, blah. But the way they have her positioned now is that she's a take charge, sassy kind of gal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's annoying. The commercials were annoying.
We were just looking at video. Look at these
mountains.
Look at this. These places.
Seaplanes.
You see that?
Yes. I love seaplanes.
I love seaplanes. They float.
They're all over the world.
They show them scuba diving. Looks like somewhere in the Caribbean on top of a mountain, snow-covered mountain. Showed them in, like, Taiwan somewhere. And then it shows them in a seaplane.
Is that them walking on the moon?
I don't know. It's just...
I love the moon.
Oh, God.
So glad we came here instead of the sun.
Yeah.
You get her burned up.
Well, you can't go there at night.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
We'll go at night.
Much cooler at night. Wow. Okay, well, anyhow, it's down 22%, by the way. All right. We should get to the clips. You guys ready?
Yeah. Right. I love clips. I love clips.
All right, American Ninja Warrior returns tonight, featuring intense obstacles for contestants to conquer. The show's host, Akbar
Baja Biamila.
There you go. Talks about how difficult it was for him to train for this season.
The training was brutal. It was very discouraging in the beginning. I remember my first training session with Kevin Bull lasted 30 seconds. Literally, I'm not joking. I walked into his gym. 30 seconds later, I was leaving his gym because I had pumped out. I couldn't grip anything.
Yeah!
I watched this over Memorial Day week. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
They had the top level difficulty course that they were doing. Holy hell.
Unbelievable, huh?
Preston, they're jumping. So they climb up. The thing that they're climbing up is angled out and away from them. And they're holding on to a ridge with their fingers that can't be any more than 3 or 4 inches. Not only that, they're jumping up to each one of these, and then across grabbing onto one. Astonishing.
Obviously, you have to have, you know, great muscle strength in the major muscle groups, but grip strength is so key in that whole sport.
Well, you remember I asked those guys, because both of them are huge, the host of the show, could guys your size? The guy who won, or one of the guys who was the star of it, was 5'6", 140 pounds, something like that.
Yeah. The season premiere is tonight, 8 p.m. on NBC. Here we go with the next clip. In, is it Reverie?
Yeah, let's go for
Revere?
That.
Reverie?
Paul Reverie.
R-E-V-E-R-I-E?
Yeah, Reverie.
Okay. A former hostage negotiator becomes a college professor after experiencing an unimaginable personal tragedy. And here, Sarah Shahahi talks about her character.
It's best described as this psychological thriller. I'm a professor of human behavior. You know, I'm popping pills and doing shots before class starts. Trying to kind of cope with the loss of my sister and my niece.
We're looking at a picture. She's really gorgeous.
In Reverie?
The series premiere is tonight, 10 p.m., and that is on NBC, by the way. That's what I got for you this morning.
It's a lot.
In the Entertainer. I have more.
There's still stuff we haven't touched on. There's a lot to get to in the show today.
I had to bail on some of them stories, but maybe we'll include them in the report tomorrow. But, yeah, you're right. We have a lot to get to today, Steve. In fact, I haven't even mentioned that we have a secret text word today. I didn't get a chance to get to that earlier. So today we have your opportunity to... Hang on, I got it right here.
There it is.
We have your opportunity... excuse me.
To
win a pair of tickets for Game Masters, the exhibition, which features over 100 playable games from every era of video game magic. Game Masters, the exhibition, powers up at the Franklin Institute.
Oh, I went and saw this. This is incredible. I loved it.
Which is going on now till September 3rd. So text the word secret followed by nothing. Just text the word secret to 39333. We're going to bounce the word back to you, and we'll ask you to call in later on with that designated caller win surprise, and we'll grab one randomly as well.
Yeah, Steve, you and Nick Murphy put together a video from the Franklin Institute. I watched it this morning. It's really well done. It's like a minute long. It's,
yeah.
It's up on PrestonandSteve.com now, and it highlights all of these video games. I got to go check this thing out.
Preston, yeah. Of the realm of the arcade games,
yeah.
They have, as you walk in, it's representative of a classic arcade.
Love it.
And then it goes on to everything from, like, the Dance Revolution games, Guitar Hero,
yeah.
To the apps. And so they're all in their different sections. It's very cool.
Excellent. So we have your chance to win those tickets. So do that now. We also have another really cool, and we got to figure out how we're going to do this. Our friends from Dunkin' Donuts are going to be stopping by, and somebody today is going to win free donuts for a year from Dunkin' Donuts in the form of a $425 gift card.
That's pretty awesome.
You will want to stay tuned for that.
One of my favorite parts of the Keenan's broadcast was we had loads of munchkins.
Hundreds
and we were
of them.
Throwing them out to the audience. And it looked like when you feed koi fish.
Yeah.
You know? It was so great.
Right.
Yeah, it was so great.
People were devouring them. So listen up for your chance. We have a lot going on today. Let's take a break, come back in just a second, and we shall continue on. Stay with us on this Wednesday morning.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
A couple of interesting Twitter stories over the past couple of days. And I don't know. Listen, we purposely don't get into really explosive, divisive conversations anything along those lines. But
this sort of speaks to everybody, anyone who's ever been on Twitter and regretted sending something out.
So you have the Roseanne thing, which you're probably up to speed on by now. But then you have Brian Colangelo, general manager of the Sixers, and he's denying that he had. There's a source that says that he has multiple Twitter accounts and was tweeting some things about. He was criticizing the Sixers, the team, the players. And in fact, one occasion they said it tweeted out medical information about one of the players.
So it was like, so the idea being that he was circuitously getting this information out or coming in under the veil of anonymity.
Yeah, right. Not necessarily medical information, but
and he's denying, by the way.
Yeah. So Keith Pompey, who was a reporter of sorts, was, you know, commenting about something with Jahlil Okafor. He didn't say this is what is wrong with Jahlil. He wrote something along the lines of, why don't you ask them about Jahlil's failed physicals?
Okay.
Now, he had, he's denying. The two names he would go by, Laser Wang and Hope Solo's butthole were determined, right?
Yep. And Bill Weston's hair.
That is unsubstantiated.
That's unsubstantiated.
Yeah, I can't.
Fake news.
Can't corroborate that information.
I guess if you are the leak, you can control in some ways the information that's disseminated.
Nick, that's as old as journalism or as old as news, as old as, any sort of marketing, but now in this case, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me, that of course that'd be a way to do something if you wanted to sort of get the word out. You create... What was the term? What was Marissa's term for it?
A burner.
You're saying we'd have a burner phone.
Well, I mean, listen, there are leaks in all sports.
And
you never know. You just sort of assume the leak is a lower level guy just kind of hanging outside the locker room hearing things.
Yeah,
and blah,
what do
blah,
you
blah.
Hear, huh?
Right?
Like with a hat that says press, you know.
Right.
But maybe the leaks.
What's the story, champ?
Maybe the leaks are the GMs or the presidents. Yeah.
Well, you can. It's as easy as setting up at Hope Solo's butthole.
Right. So I was alluding to this earlier, but it can be leaks. It can be snooping. It can be anything. And my friend's ex-wife, now ex-wife, set up a burner account. I didn't know it was called a burner account at the time, but she was doing it because she was suspecting him of cheating on her.
Okay.
And she used Twitter as a way to sort of flirt with him. And he fell for it.
Really?
Yeah. And so it was a circuitous way. And, you know, it's all online. I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
But what I loved about her is what I see in you.
Yeah.
That would have been the deflection.
I guess it's just really easy to set up a burner account, and if you can do it, why not?
I'll bet that version of it happens a lot, Nick.
I would think so.
That people will flirt with somebody that they are suspecting of, or maybe not even suspecting, just testing.
Yeah.
Just testing to see if you are indeed, you know, faithful to me, and boy, that's...
Is this fatal?
You've got some trust issues if that's going on. Yeah.
Fatal attraction in the social media age?
Oh, my God. I can imagine, man.
Wow.
But it's crazy. I mean, we have this avenue to speak to hundreds of thousands of people a week via these microphones and this radio station. And I mean, you know, I never feel the need. Well, I can't say that's not necessarily 100% true. There are an occasion where I might feel fired up about something and, man, I'd really like to speak my mind. But then I assess and go, it's not really worth it. What am I achieving by doing that?
And in many ways, it's self-serving. It's mm-hmm. to make you feel better without addressing the issue. And then, like, a lot of times these things, I know, because I, Preston, I've had the same thing where I'm like, and then what I always do, though, and I've taught myself to do this, is I write it down in text edit, look at it, and then I erase it.
Yeah.
Because I've had that thing go, because ultimately, you know, look at like with Roseanne, it's not just her. It's everyone associated with the show that is you know, yeah. from and people who relied on that gig.
Yeah.
It's now over.
We all kind of agree that we have a good thing going here.
Yes.
You know, so we don't really have a whole lot to complain about. But we've had prior situations in our careers where I'm sure we would have loved to have complained about our boss or somebody online. If you had a burner account, who would you go after?
I know, but it does provide another avenue for something that's already contentious to begin with.
Yeah.
I had a friend who would complain about her boss on a burner account, but she didn't have any followers and she didn't follow anybody. She did it just to keep record of it. So if anything ever happened and she needed it, it was there. And it
she
was
did
there
it on social media?
Publicly, yeah.
Ah.
I don't know why, but yeah, that was
I
her
don't
way
understand.
Of keeping... That was her way of keeping record of the things. It was sort of a harassment issue.
Oh.
So it was her way of keeping a record of those things and doing it publicly, but not really because she didn't have any followers.
Is there a legal aspect to that if you're quote unquote? Okay.
Huh. I don't know.
Hang on. I want to go to Maureen, who created a burner account. Hey, Maureen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Maureen?
So I created an account. This was back in like the early 2000s, and my dad had a computer business. So he had all kinds of computers set up around his house, and he would ask us to test them and just try and, you know, break things. So I created a burner account to trick my sister into thinking she had an online boyfriend. And this went on for like 8 months.
Oh, so you were suckering your sister into thinking she had an, was his name George Glass?
No, it was Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Maureen.
So how deep into it was she?
She would send him pictures and they would make plans to meet up. But, of course, Jonathan was always indisposed.
Let me ask you something and be honest. Did you have Jonathan ask for naked pictures?
No.
Okay.
God, no.
All right. I don't know.
Do you hate your sister? I don't. Do you dislike her?
So I had all the naked pictures I needed of my sister.
Wait, Maureen, Casey's asking, did you not like your sister? Were you doing this out of, you know, malice?
We grew up very close to each other. We shared a room our whole lives. So we were always fighting when we were kids. And the worst part is there were times when she would be on the other computer in my dad's workroom, and I would be emailing her as Jonathan.
Well, the question, yeah. But did you do this just to be mean?
Of course.
Oh my God, man, that's
you're
cruel.
A demon. So let me ask you: was she skipping actual real world relationships because she thought she had an internet boyfriend?
We were teenagers, so I don't think so.
All right.
Okay, all right.
But she was really like quote unquote in love with this guy, and it was over 8 months that we kept it up.
Eight? Oh yeah, wow. That's insane.
That's all right, terrible.
Teenager,
you are the worst sister ever.
Teenager, I could see doing that. You don't know better. And,
you're catfishing.
But I thought maybe as an adult, you're doing that.
Does she have any idea?
Before catfishing was cool.
Yes.
Okay. Does she have any idea that it was you?
Oh yeah, I told her. Oh,
okay.
And how did she react to that?
She didn't talk to me for days.
Yeah, you're lucky. You got just days. Yes.
Can you imagine? Wow.
Jeez.
Did you find out anything juicy from her during those conversations?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, if I did...
Really likes butt stuff.
I would have already known as her sister, so...
Yeah, wow.
Right. Thanks, I see, Maureen.
If you do that, if you're pranking a family member, you may find out something you did not want to know about them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Seriously.
Totally. I would never venture down that
imagine
road.
If the sister, like, came out and said...
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will go to Quinn next. Hi, Quinn. You're on the air. Good morning.
What's going on? Good morning.
Morning, bud. What'd you want to chime in on?
I'd like to chime in on the topic. I think it's possibly a good and bad idea to have a burner account because in case you get found out about it, I mean, you get screwed. I mean, personally, I've made burner accounts, and I've talked about my family and my my bosses, and luckily I haven't gotten found out. But, I mean, it's because you could just put them on private if that's really what you're trying to do is just vent. But if you're really trying to get something through, you can pretty easily get found out.
So let me ask you, Quinn, how often so you're doing these burner accounts, you're putting it on private so no one can really see it,
right.
Just for the exercise of going through the machinations of posting it, quote-unquote posting it, but you're not really?
Hello?
He was found out.
No, it's breaking up. Say that again. Can you respond again, Quinn?
It's just like just a way to vent.
Okay.
Get it out there.
All right, so you just get it out there. Do you get anything back? Do people respond to these posts and that kind of helps you out a little bit? We lost him. They found him.
Family found him. Yeah. It was you little bastard.
But I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, he's bitching about his family and his job, his boss, most likely. You throw all this stuff out there.
Right.
Why do you do that?
You know what is it speaking to? So for me, you know, again, and I will advise you, and we talk about this time and time again, you know, do not, because what if you accidentally hit the wrong button and you send it out?
Oh, yeah.
What if that happens?
Yeah, if you do get found out,
yes.
Your family member finds out about what you're posting about them online, even though it doesn't really matter. Listen, I've learned over the years that that what I say about my personal life on air, even if it's embarrassing and so on and so forth, to the masses of people that know that stuff, it's really not going to affect me personally.
No, no.
And it's okay to be, you know, sharing embarrassing things. But a family member might take that the wrong way and not understand that it's not really going to affect their lives. However, especially if they find out their true feelings about
yes. So I'm a pedo,
Yeah, so you think I'm a pedo.
Pedophile,
Yeah, I guess it's more than anything. I mean, the Colangelo thing is one thing. I think that there was a specific purpose for it. But a lot of people just do it to vent, you know, and to get it off their chest. And they find that on some ways, it's cathartic.
Yeah. It is weird.
Somebody texts in, I use another Twitter account to follow porn stars.
Okay. Well, they can see that. Yeah. Maybe they're going to be more friendly.
Somebody is writing.
That's Bill Weston's hair, right?
Somebody says venting on Twitter is like writing in a journal.
Yeah.
Except
is it?
The journal is private. But I guess if you're anonymous, I don't know, man.
Well, but the thing about following porn stars is that so your wife doesn't see who you follow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so your porn stars and her porn stars don't get confused.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, going back to the sports writing thing, it says, I used to be a sports writer. This is a text that came in. I used to be a sports writer covering pro sports teams in the city. And I can confirm Casey's point about front office people being the sources of leaks. It happens all the time.
Interesting.
Presidents, GMs, and other top executives leak information to reporters routinely. They have agendas to push like everyone else, which I could see. And at some point, I would imagine they have to sit down and maybe have a little meeting with another person and go, you know what we ought to do? We should float this story, and here's what's going to happen. It's the spin doctors.
Well, also, and then they
probably... Not the band.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I love those guys.
I know, they were good.
I see in my office about the spin doctors. Yeah. I have a great idea for a concert.
But then again, and then a lot of times these are going to be the people going to say, we really need to check about leaks.
Right.
And control them when they're the ones leaking.
When they're exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so in written journalism, you protect your sources, right?
Yes.
Do they have that in like, I will protect all my sources.
All bets are off, especially since you know that news will run with something they see posted on Twitter before they even vet it.
Yeah.
It does happen, and it's been caught, you know, multiple times. But in this case, I always thought just your basic Twitter account was where a lot of people thought that's where I'm going to go to vent. Now you're creating a sub-anonymous account, you know what I'm saying? So if you're posted under, as I say, Hope Solo's butthole, no one knows who that is.
Right.
It'd be like Hope Solo's butthole, Hope Solo's rectum.
Right.
To, you know, as a burner account. It's like, aren't you already anonymous to begin with?
Oh, here, this top text. I've heard this before, Preston. This happens a lot.
Okay, it says, I'm a teacher, and there's a whole area of Twitter of all anonymous users that are teachers who just vent and share ideas with each other, but mostly vent.
But they can't, because teachers can't. You know, they could, I mean, they're really susceptible, and their students see it, or the supervisors see it.
So they're in deep trouble then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like a community?
Yeah.
Where they can talk to each other
so
about that?
Yeah. How are they finding each other? Through hashtags?
That's a good question.
Maybe.
How would you find someone who's going to those extreme lengths? How can it be communal if you're not able to communicate?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you know, the teachers used to bitch and still do in the teacher's lounge about the crappy students, and now they can do it on Twitter.
That's why you weren't allowed in.
That's right.
They were saying what a douchebag you were.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now I don't even know if you can get away with doing that, because you don't know who you're going to offend in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
So if you can just put it out there on the Twitterverse as an anonymous person.
In a support group?
Mm-hmm.
Although, it's not just support. You're going to get back and forth. It's going to be, it's actually more like a debate group, I would imagine. You know what I mean?
Probably.
I don't know. Hang on, I'm going to go to Alex. Alex, you're on the air. Good morning.
Durka.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? I was just telling you guys, I was listening to the radio about this burner account, and I just want to fill you guys in on my burner account. So I had an ex-wife that I long suspected of cheating for like probably about 2 years or so.
Wow.
And so I couldn't really nail it down any which way besides like the Verizon cell phone account that I was paying for. I had numbers on there.
Yeah.
So I would type them into the burner account on Facebook, each number, and their Facebook account would pop up, and I would find out the gentleman that she was talking to.
Oh, man.
The way I was able to kind of nail it in into one direction, because people were blocking me on my normal Facebook account.
So if you, and I think it was actually Marissa had brought this up a while ago, if you type in a phone number, you can get you can get someone's Facebook page to pop up if they did put in their phone number.
Yeah.
In that process.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I had to do a little detective work, but I was able to bring it in, and then, you know, now I'm a single guy, so I'm over here.
Hey, when you confronted her, what happened?
I'm over here.
Yeah.
I mean,
so here she comes.
She kind of like got real defensive about it, kind of like, you know, even beforehand, I would like get symptoms of like that she was doing it by like, you know, the guilt that she would put out forward, like, oh, are you talking to girls or this and that? And
okay,
like,
she was projecting
your own guilty conscience sticking out.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're glad you're free of that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, Alex. All due to a burner account. And here
she
comes. She
came home with glaze on her face.
And yeah.
well, you know what, Steve? And you just said a simple phrase, and it hit right on. It was, don't tweet that.
Mm-hmm. Don't tweet that. Don't tweet that.
You know what I mean? What?
Well, easier said than done. I mean, there are
I tell you all the time. You know, yeah. It's something, because I love you dearly, and I don't like to see you get into these things.
That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking, Steve, you don't drink.
Right.
When people who are under the influence of things, they don't have the capability.
You're 1,000% right. Mm-hmm. But even still, so Preston, let me ask you.
I'm not going to apologize for sticking up for myself.
If you go out and you're drinking, and you're usually with your wife, and she would intercede before something got out of hand.
Well, listen, I'm 50 years old now.
Yeah.
I've learned a few lessons along the way, and I have a little voice that tells me, hey, dude, you're drunk. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, don't do that.
Right.
Not a good idea. We've learned lessons in the past. Let's not learn anymore.
And that's I'm sure that same voice will kick in if you're with a Twitter response that you just say, yeah.
And I've sat there and debated, and now I've learned to just not go there, period.
Yes.
When imbibing alcohol, find something else to do. Don't surf the web. And so I've avoided that particular step of it. But I have sat there and gone, you mother effer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And then I don't do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And to your point, Casey, about defending yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you defending yourself to?
Sure.
Who are you? You're defending yourself to maybe a Twitter troll or somebody who's exactly looking for that.
I do my research.
Or somebody that you'll probably never meet and will have no direct effect on your life and, you know, whatever, man.
Or you'll punch his brother and become best friends.
Wait, what is that from?
Step brothers.
Oh.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I want to show you something. Why is it signed by Randy Jackson?
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, some people let it get away from them, and they feel like they've got to say something or or do something. And I don't know, a few different levels here, but it's, but this is all, this has been going on for a while, you know, and there's still people learning.
Losing, still losing careers.
Yes.
Still losing, still thinking that they're removed from that. I don't get it.
Yeah, listen, if you're young, I understand that you may not quite get it yet. And like my cousin, she was posting pictures of her on Facebook doing bong hits. And I'm like, yeah. Jamie, you're 20 years old, and I know I'm an old man compared to you, but I've traveled the path, and I think you might want to listen. You shouldn't put stuff like that out there. Right now, you don't care, and you're invincible, and that's cool. It's you against the world. Rock on. But there's going to come a time where somebody might look down that that pass and go, you know what? I'm not going to hire this person.
Do you know it's never happened to me?
Steve, can I see you in my office right now?
Yeah.
Couldn't help but notice you have a Batman figure at home. Right.
Did she listen to you, Preston?
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, all right. So Bill Weston, I mean, he is a wise, wise individual.
He is. And, to many, he is their spiritual advisor.
There's a young man on this show who would do contests with dildos in his mouth singing songs. And
his dream was to own a monkey.
And at one point, I remember Weston coming in and saying, hey, you have kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think that guy's response was, well, you know, that pays the mortgage. So, you know, they're just going to have to get over it. And now those kids are a little bit older. And that person thinks that maybe Bill Weston was right.
Well, I think, remember, Bill put his hand on your shoulder and or this person.
This person's shoulder.
And said, let me put the dildos in my mouth.
Also, Bill was a fan of a contest we did on Friday. So yeah, he's got a sense of humor about all of it.
He has a very good sense of
humor. Well, I mean, it's wild because I have to keep everything metered because my kids' classmates are now following me on social media.
Yeah,
and I have said to their parents, I said, you know that your so-and-so is following me, and I can't.
I put dildos in my mouth.
I put, you know, well, I mean, you know.
Say that again.
That was clean. It was totally clean.
She said it.
Let's make sure we have it.
So, Preston.
I hope I didn't ruin that.
So you have the kids following. I'm cute skater boy.
No, but Casey,
that's how I troll.
To Preston's point earlier, you know, all of us in this room are pretty comfortable with ourselves and putting ourselves out there, but it does affect other people. And when it affects your kids and then your kids' friends, and then it reflects on your children or your wife or whatever, that's something that you have to consider.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not 100% bulletproof. I'll see some things and go, oh, man.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that? You know, it can sting, but sure. I'm not going to get into a back and forth. What's that going to do?
What is it going to do? And that's ultimately, that's the same question that both, you know, and obviously, you know, the burner accounts is being denied, but there's no denying, you know, Roseanne's dilemma. And, Two seconds of just saying, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't tweet this. Do I really need to do this? And also knowing that absolutely, I think if it's not science, I'm going to say it right now. No one's mind has ever been changed by a Facebook post, a Twitter post, a Snapchat post, anything. It just doesn't happen. Mm-mm. The only thing you're going to do is get negative blowback.
Can't happen. All right, interesting. Well, listen, thought it was worth bringing up because obviously it's definitely the topic of conversation for today.
It sure is.
I have some other things that we need to get to, and the fact that we have a screening. I had mentioned we gave away a trip to California when we were at Keenan's on Friday, which was a great time, by the way.
It was.
One of the best we've ever had.
Absolutely.
We have the screening of that film, which we gave away the trip for, and it's Action Point. It's tomorrow night. We're going to be doing this at the UA King of Prussia. It's a screening of the film at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. And listen, we have a lot of these passes to give away. We have the majority of the theater. So I'm going to take, you know, let's take like a dozen callers right now. And we'll put you on the list. 215-263-WMMR. A movie on us for you.
You do know. So this is a scripted comedy, but all of the stunts in it are Jackass style execution. Yes. So what you're seeing is really done.
And it's clearly a riff on Action Park in New Jersey. So it should be a fun movie. Let's get you on board. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. I got bizarre file stories that will dazzle you when we return. Stay with us.
turning 50 is a big deal, and MMR's taking the better part of the year to celebrate. On Thursday, October 25th, WMMR puts the icing on the cake with one big, final, blow out the candles event. Presenting the WMMR 50th finale with Metallica. On the bell door.
MMR is turning 50 years old.
We are coming back to Philly to celebrate with you guys on October 25th.
WMMR and Metallica rock the roof off the Wells Fargo Center.
So true, Jackson.
MMR VIP presale Thursday, May 31st, noon to 10 p.m. Keep an eye on your inbox for the password. Not a VIP? Sign up now at WMMR.com. Tickets on sale Friday, June 1st at noon via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. The WMMR 50th finale with Metallica. Details at WMMR.com. Happy birthday to us.
I put dildos in my mouth.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
Wow.
You didn't get the end.
Wow.
Nah, it's a little covered over.
Do it again. I put dildos in my mouth.
On my mouth. It's close, man.
I put dildos in my mouth.
Yep. All right, real quick.
Nick's just excited it's not him.
Yes, for once.
Yes. Yeah, it's not me putting dildos in my mouth.
Yeah. Real quick, though, I want to mention that today's coolest teacher high school is Hallahan.
There you go. Back to me.
In Philly. Hallahan. Hallahan.
I need to start making mouth noises.
Yeah. So if you go to Hallahan Catholic Girls High School, text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333, and we will tally those votes up. It's one vote per person. And tomorrow morning we will award that. By the way, Mr. Sean Thomas of Haddonville Memorial High was our winner today, so congrats.
And speaking of voting, Preston, Marissa put up a new Twitter poll on Preston and Steve's Twitter account, which is Preston and Steve 933, and it's about Ben Simmons and Kendall Jenner dating and whether or not you're okay with it. So if you'd like to go to our account and vote, you can do so.
All right. Steve, shout out.
Yes. Saturday night, my wife and I and my brother-in-law and his wife went to Hoagie Nation. And I wanted to do a shout out to Jim Sutcliffe who from Live Nation. Our Live Nation friends really hooked us up, and Jim was instrumental in getting us in for a wonderful time. And of course, Jeff Gordon and Ike Richman were there, and helping my wife. My wife wanted to meet the lead singer of Fits in the Tantrums, and they had Train and Hall & Oates. And man, have you been over there to the?
I haven't. Every year the lineup's so great, but I'm never in town for Memorial Day.
Two stages. It was great. It's a great vibe. Loads of food this year. They really upped the hoagie and the Hoagie Nation, and it was just a fantastic night. And it was Jim Sutcliffe, it was Jeff Gordon, and Ike Richman. Everybody stepped up, and Jim especially, you know, getting us through and making sure it was a wonderful time. We had some family in visiting, so I wanted to thank them for what they did and in making it a good night. I'm calling up my shirt, and there we go. That's for you guys. Thank you so much.
Marissa wanted to do one, and she got this email. Says, hey, Marissa, it was fantastic to meet you this past weekend in Dewey. After our conversation, I thought you were just as lovely as you seem to be when I hear you on the show. I'd asked you for a shout out, and you told me to email you as a reminder, and I'll be glued to the WMMR app listening. I hope your Memorial Day, hope your Memorial Day weekend was well spent here in Delaware, and that we cross paths again in the future. Best, Nick DiNardo. So Marissa wants to send a shout out to Nick. There you go. And then I've been meaning to read this. Let me do this quickly. It's a special anniversary. It says, as this date grows near, and it was on May 27th, so I missed it by a little bit. I can't help but remember the shout out you gave my dad and sister May 27th, 2008. My dad, Bob, was going into the University of Penn to have a second living donor transplant performed. His first donor is the love of his life, wife Susan Kelchner. But after he slipped into a coma, her kidney had failed due to medications used to reverse the coma. So it was decided over coin toss who would become his next donor. Three kids, one donor. My sister Laura won the coin toss and became our dad's second living donor. Wow. And he's doing very well with no signs of rejection 10 years later. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, thank
what
you guys.
What a story.
You guys rock, Bob and Sue Kelchner and the kids, Bob, Chuck, and Laura. So a shout out to you guys and happy to hear that wonderful news. So good for you guys. All right, Bizarre File, let's get to it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Man, were there a lot of stories. This is brought to you by Armor, Metals, and Recycling. You want more cash in your pocket today? Armor Metals pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, computers, and more. 8300 National Highway, Pennsauken, New Jersey. You can call 856-665-5715. This is a story out of Florida. Officials said a Little Caesars employee shot a man wearing a clown mask who hit him with a wooden post and attempted to stab him with scissors.
The clown attempted to stab the guy with scissors?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a sad clown.
Herberto Feliciano had just walked out after closing the store Saturday night when a currently unidentified suspect wearing a clown mask attacked him.
I'm going to cut you, son of a bitch!
Listen, the suspect hit Feliciano with a wooden post until the post broke and then tried to stab him with scissors.
Oh my God.
Authorities said Feliciano was able to reach his concealed firearm. They said he then shot the suspect several times. The report said the suspect was taken to the hospital, and he later died. Dude shot and killed him. He was being attacked. A surveillance video from the restaurant shows the suspect walking around the back of the restaurant while carrying what looked to be a piece of wood.
Well, he had a scary clown mask, too, by the way. It wasn't a happy clown mask.
Police are investigating the incident thoroughly. That's messed up. Florida man.
Florida man.
I might have another one of those.
All right,
be ready.
Handy.
The shooting of a man took a surprise twist Sunday night when investigators concluded that the assailant was actually his Maytag oven. Robin Garlock had put his revolver in the broiler of the oven for safekeeping because children were coming to the house.
So put it in the broiler.
So police detective at Wayne Mackey was investigating. His girlfriend had decided to do some baking, though, on Sunday night, apparently unaware of the firepower below the oven. While she was cooking...
The cake is almost ready.
While she was cooking, she heard a bang and yelled for Garlock, thinking that the sound was a gunshot coming from outside. He yelled for her to get down. He then went to the oven, opened the broiler, and tried to secure his revolver, and he burned his hand because he reached in to get this hot gun.
This is all levels of stupid.
He said it was too hot. The gun literally spun around because it
was like it was in an oven.
It was going off, Mac. He said the heat of the oven eventually caused bullets in the gun to explode. Either two bullets or bullet fragments struck Garlock in the front of each of his shoulders. And the story makes sense because if you put ammunition in a fire, it will explode, Mackey said. Garlock was taken in for treatment to the hospital where Mackey interviewed him. Garlock's girlfriend was questioned separately. She said she didn't know what happened. Garlock suffered serious injuries, but he was stable. And the story sounded hard to believe when Garlock first told Mackey, but the evidence confirmed Garlock's story. There were bullet holes in the stove, and the gun obviously had been in a fire.
So you're looking to keep the gun away from kids, so where do you store it? In the kitchen.
In the oven.
Put it there behind the cookies.
Yeah, so anyhow, it was legitimately happened. Well, police were called to a swingers club after receiving reports that a child was spotted going inside the adult venue. But when they arrived, they discovered actually it was just a very short woman.
I'm just 6.5 years old.
Officers were said to have been left red-faced after they responded to the call from a well-meaning neighbor near Club F.
So subtle.
But when they arrived, they discovered there were no...
It's right next to the big D.
There were no children inside, but instead discovered that one of the club's customers just happened to be on the short side. A spokesperson said police were called in around 9 p.m. following concerns of a child.
You must be this tall to swing.
In Club F, officers spoke to the staff at the hotel and confirmed the female was one of their customers who was an adult woman. Although police did not confirm how tall the woman was, a report stated that she was an adult woman of shorter stature. The club, which has a fully equipped dungeon complete with a mistress and pole dancing facilities, has had police called to it nearly 20 times since 2015.
Sure, the people in that area love it.
All right, here's another one, Casey.
As
a drone hovered near his home Monday night, a Florida man...
Florida man
sought to bring down the aerial intruder by firing 7 shots from his 9mm handgun.
Of course.
So this is a drone hovering nearby. Wilmer Yanes spotted the drone flying above his residence upon returning to the property. The drone, Yanes said, dropped to within a few feet off the ground before shooting back up into the sky.
Not up, but yeah.
Yanes added that he waved his hands at the camera equipment drone indicating that he wanted its operator to fly the drone away from his home.
Shoo!
Yanes, a Honduran native who runs a construction firm, said that he was fearful for the safety of his family and worried that a psycho might have been trying to watch his 16-year-old daughter. With the drone continuing to stalk his property, Yanes attempted to shoot it from the sky, aiming at the drone with a 9mm firearm, for which Yanes said he has a permit. The homeowner squeezed off 7 shots, but none of the rounds hit the drone. Yanes subsequently called 911 to report that he had tried to shoot down the drone since he was, quote, in fear for his family's privacy. Cops determined that the drone was being flown by a neighbor who was properly licensed by the FAA. The drone operator, who claimed that he did not know his drone was shot at, denied flying the device over Yanes' property. A patrolman educated Yanes on the proper use of a handgun and told the homeowner that the shooting of a drone is not legal. Yanes appears to have escaped arrest since a police noted, quote, at this time, no one witnessed the incident.
I wasn't flying it over my neighbor's house to look at his super hot daughter.
But you can't go firing off shots in the air. They might come down and nail somebody. So, all right. And then we will do one more story. A Bronx legal assistant is seeking some cash after a pizza maker was charged with brutally assaulting him inside a Manhattan slice shop. Kavanaugh Karuth said that in a lawsuit that Ali Essa, the former manager of La Vera Pizzeria, bashed him in the face with a giant wooden spatula used to place pizzas in the oven. You ever seen those things?
Those suckers are big, yeah.
Well, dude, beat the crap out of this guy. I saw the picture of him afterwards. Well, the early morning beatdown led to the arrest of Essa and left Karuth knocked out cold with a split lip, nasty gash under his eye, and an aversion to pizza. Except my life has totally changed. I used to love pizza. I could sit down and eat a whole pizza by myself, but now even thinking about it upsets me. The pizzeria...
You know, because I smashed in the face with a big wood thing.
The pizzeria pummeling put a violent... put a violent end to what had been an enjoyable night for Karuth, a legal assistant in the Bronx District Attorney's Office, by the way.
This dude's just dropping by to grab a couple slices.
He stopped by the pizza shop with friends at about 4 a.m. before leaving a Midtown bar. Karuth said that he ordered a chicken and cheese slice and iced tea, but he didn't get a chance to enjoy them. Just as he was biting into a slice, an employee asked him to leave the store. He said, "I didn't understand why he asked me to leave. I was a paying customer." Karuth said he looked around the shop and noticed that he was the only minority there. No one else was being asked to leave, and it convinced him that he was singled out because of his race. He said he insisted on staying until his friends received their food, but they were ultimately shepherded outside where the unidentified pizza shop staffer hurled a racial slur. He said he called me a stupid N-word. And then surveillance camera captured what happened next. Essa is seen striking Karuth with a pizza. It's called a peel. The wooden block used to transport pies with such force that it actually broke the thing.
And I mean, those things are huge.
Yeah, and he said, next thing I remember is some guy coming out of nowhere with the pizza peel and hitting me in the face. He woke up to an EMT pointing a flashlight in his face, dazed and bloody. He was rushed to the medical center. So now he is obviously suing this guy for doing that.
Yeah, he's got the legal firm to sick on him.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file at the moment. Case, can I do some more of those movie passes?
Yeah, they're right here.
A lot to action point. It's tomorrow night at the UA King of Prussia, 7 p.m., and you'll need to be there no later than 7, so let's take another 9, make Bill happy, 9 callers at 215-263-WMMR, and we shall put you on our list, so give us a call right now. Our friends from Dunkin' Donuts are here. It's National Donut Day, Friday, and by the way, you can get a free classic donut from Dunkin' with any purchase, with the purchase of any beverage. And America runs on Dunkin', so does the Preston and Steve. So price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. And at some point this morning, we're going to give away a year's worth of free donuts. We have a $425 Dunkin' gift card that we can set you up with.
You know, it's the unsung celebrity in that Dunkin' Donuts case. The muffins.
The muffins.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They get glanced
they
over.
They get all the time.
Yeah.
Nick knows. He's laughing out of recognition.
Absolutely.
The muffins kick ass.
And you know why,
Steve? But are rarely mentioned.
Because you go there and you're like, oh, donuts, munchkins, maybe a bagel. And then you see the muffins.
Muffins.
Yeah. I know. I'm with you.
Do you have a favorite muffin?
The blueberry.
Yeah. They got those little crumbles on them.
Yes.
They do have crumbles.
They got those little crumbles on them, guys.
They do. Yeah.
They do indeed.
They're big. They're always in. I don't even know how science achieves it. Completely fresh.
Mm-hmm. Casey was almost like back of the room on that.
Yeah. Quiet, everybody. Yeah, I got those crumbles on.
Like,
way at the back of the
crumbles.
I think crumbles are the unsung hero of muffins.
Of the muffins.
You know what I like? Poppy seed muffins.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something about them.
I got you.
I don't know what it is.
I'm with you.
Maybe it's the...
I feel you.
Maybe it's the opioids.
I don't know. I feel you. Don't eat one before a drug test.
All right, anyhow, they are here. We'll have a chance to win that coming up in a little bit. So stay put. We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, my friend.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzie. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
By the way, celebrate National Dunkin' Day Donut Day, actually, on Friday with Dunkin' Donuts, June 1st. You get a free classic donut with the purchase of any Dunkin' beverage, and you can choose your favorite and satisfy your donut craving with your favorite classic donut. And, of course, America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. At some point this morning, someone is going to get an entire free year worth of donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. We have a $425 gift card that we'll give away that will ensure that you get those.
I mean, that's a lot of donuts.
That's a whole lot of donuts. Man, we're giving away a lot of munchkins and canes.
Oh, my God. I loved it. I love seeing the crowd. You know, it was just,
thanks to everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's just a wonderful time.
I think that's one of the most fun, and that may be like the Camp Out for Hunger. You know how every year we go, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
It was. I felt so satisfied when we were done on Friday. It was a blast.
I only had one regret from the whole morning.
Oh?
And that was the bride-to-be in the front of the room, and right in front of the stage. She desperately wanted to take part in a contest. And as the morning went on, there were contests that she just couldn't take. She wasn't going to shave her head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I know, and you didn't find out till a little bit later on in the morning. After we had already done like the crowd surfing one and one that might have been good or gum on Bill's face.
Yeah.
But by the time we got to later on, it was like, oh man, we can't do this right before your wedding. And her friends, you know, and I understand their support group were really kind of, you know, harping on me. You know, she really wanted me in a contest. I'm like, I read her email. I interviewed her on the air. I'm sorry. I did, you know. But they were cool.
And people understand, you know, for the most part, because we're just juggling so much. But I agree with you, Preston, about the whole thing. It just felt solid. The contest worked wonderfully. You know, there's certain things you forget from year to year. We kind of remembered a lot of things from years past and what works and at what time it works.
Mm-hmm.
And strategically, man, we managed to stay on time, which was unheard of for these events. And there was just such a general great thing, like to the point of throwing out hundreds of munchkins to the audience or just the general reaction of the crowd, the line, Nick, as you reported coming in, it was the longest we'd ever seen. And we turn around at like 7:15 and the place is from the front to the back packed with people.
And then you go outside, it's the same thing. They had me when they brought the Lombardi trophy out, which was, dude, that was a major surprise.
Yeah.
I was fortunate. They asked me to parade it outside. Where they were allowing people to have pictures taken with it. And, I mean, it was tough getting through that crowd. It was absolutely packed outside as well. And we can't see that. You know, we can only see our room. There's a room right behind our room and a room off to the side where you can see little bits and pieces of that. Thousands of people.
Did you guys see the picture I sent you? Somebody sent me the old school photos when it used to be outside.
I did. I saw them. Yeah.
My things have changed.
Tremendously. It's kind of looks like a backyard patio with some light coming in, and it's more like, hey, it looks a little more tiki-ish.
Yeah. You changed. You would reply to all to the email, but the pictures weren't included in that email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw them. Yeah.
I thought I forwarded them to you.
No, I looked for it.
That's what that email was. You did not include the pictures. And
Steve got them.
I saw them.
Somehow or another.
Maybe someone else tweeted them out or grabbed them or whatever, but I saw them, yeah.
But it was kind of interesting to look at the difference between then and now. So thanks to everybody who made it out. And if you didn't, make those plans for next year. And,
oh, my God, yeah.
We'll get on that. A couple pieces of audio that I would like to play. Let's start with this one, Weezer. And I got several people sent this to me. I had the official story coming up in music news, but let me get it right here.
Make sure we sent it over.
It should be.
It'd be there. It should be.
Marissa, did you send over?
It's coming.
Okay. Well, then I'll read you the story leading up to it. So Weezer has unveiled a cover of Toto's 1982 hit, Africa.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
And they did it because a 14-year-old girl, she's a fan of the band, her name is Mary, her Twitter account is Weezer Africa, lobbied for months to get the group to cover it. She just kind of kept stayed on it, like, would you do this? Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. And she, at first, Weezer had cut a version of another another song from Toto, Rosanna.
Yeah.
And they ended up doing their own take on Africa because this girl asked them to do it. And you know what? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, I love it.
What's the awesome. Lead singer for Toto's name?
It's, oh, man.
Picaro?
No, no. He's, well,
it's not.
Jeff Picaro was a drummer. Steve Lukather, the guitarist. And then they had, I don't remember Casey.
Because River's voice is perfect for
yes.
any sort of. Yeah, and he's
perfect for this. Absolutely.
Nick is looking it up.
Lukather and David Peitch?
David Peitch, I guess. That would have to be him.
Peitch?
Because Lukather sang backup vocals, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so I want to play some of this
for Joseph Williams, I'm sorry.
Actually, I love this whole thing. I'm going to play some of this. Here we go.
I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or reaching
now they keep the verses pretty similar to the original, but pick it up in the chorus.
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
I love it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I've always liked that song.
Yeah.
It's how can you just, even if you extract the lyrics, which is, we were talking about, are a little bit, you know, light.
They can get a little cheesy.
But the music is so good. And by the way, when you're talking Toto, you're talking the original lineup of some of the best studio musicians working in the industry.
Yeah.
And that's why this stuff is so good.
Yeah. Rivers, by the way, had a surprise solo single, Medicine for Melancholy, in March, but it followed a solo acoustic show where he did a 27-song set and obviously did Weezer hits, but he did a few covers, too, and that's I like it when bands play around with it a little bit. So they did some Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Pixies, and REO Speedwagon,
that's great.
Which is cool, too.
He's just a fan of music.
Yeah.
And I love that. And remember, we played when the Muppet movie came out with the Jason Segel.
Yes.
They did the cover for Rainbow Connection, and
that's right.
One, it actually brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It was just great, because he...
Do you have that there in the system?
You should, you know, right? We might, but he stays true to the material.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Or he doesn't mess with it too much.
Mm-mm.
He tries to add a little bit to it, because if you can hear in the chorus, they hit a little more on the distortion on the guitars. It didn't set that... version didn't sound too good for some reason, but anyhow,
the YouTube version is the there's the full song that probably has a clearer cut from it.
You know what? I don't think because we played it off of a CD.
Oh, we got a bitch.
CD, because there were some other interesting covers from that Muppet soundtrack. But anyway,
yep. All right, there's another piece of audio that I would like to play for you, and this is kind of a follow-up to, and I have the full story. Let me see where I put it.
This is a wonderful, but, as heartwarming as that was.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to bring a smile to your face.
So you remember a while back we had a couple of televangelists who were talking about how they needed a new jet.
Yes,
and
to spread the word,
more
efficiently and to more people.
Yeah,
and a jet was what they needed—a private jet.
Exactly. So now,
Lord knows, and I say with Lord, commercial flying just won't get it done. And they were actually making that case that it would eat up too much of their schedule, having to go through like check-in and all that stuff.
Jesse Duplantis.
Yes.
Is his name.
The Duplantis Ministries, right?
Televangelist with a global reach is asking disciples for money to buy a jet that costs $54 million, quote, so we can go anywhere in the world in one stop.
Stopping is such a pain.
Do we have, we only have 20 seconds of this?
And there should be the audio from the full video.
All right. You're going to want to pull up the video, the entire thing. I'll play a little segment of this because...
mind you, this would be his fourth jet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has, in fact, in the video, he's standing in front of pictures of the other jets.
Uh-huh.
And explains why the fourth, the $54 million three-engine jet, which I believe is a...
It's a Dassault Falcon 7X.
A three-engine jet.
Uh-huh. And it's a range of 5,950 nautical miles. Its customizable cabins accommodate 12 to 16 passengers.
Because you got to have other people with you.
Yeah, of course.
When you're
you
spreading the gospel.
Yeah, and that's
you don't
exactly.
Go by yourself.
Yeah, friends and family. Oh,
my God, it's how he justifies this is just unbelievable.
By the way,
if
you're watching the video, he's dressed as I imagine Willy Wonka would dress when he retires.
By the way, so I'm waiting for Marissa to get the full audio over, but Duplantis's solicitation comes 4 months after another televangelist, the Newark, Texas-based Kenneth Copeland, announced that he had just bought a new Gulfstream 5 jet.
Oh, someone got a little jealous.
I think that's what it is.
Wait a second. What did that son of a bitch just get?
Yeah.
Well, this will not fly in the eyes of the Lord.
I think it's keeping up with the Joneses. The aircraft.
Listen, you insufferable prick. I saw what you just bought, and I'm going to get an even bigger jet. Hallelujah.
The aircraft, when first sold in 1998, carried a $36 million price tag. That's what this other guy.
$54 million.
Can you just trade that in?
And by the way, so I think Steve.
He has a fleet.
Yeah. Copeland, the other guy who bought this other jet, they together were the guys who defended their use in private jets.
Yeah, so. these were the two standing outside the jet.
Yeah.
And talking to the parishioners about. You need to understand, you just cannot. You're waiting in line, and you're going through TSA, checking, you're taking your shoes off. That's time wasted from spreading the word of the Lord.
That's it. Oh, my.
And then you got the crying kids kicking the back of the seat. I cannot put together a proper homily on a flight with the riffraff, the human filth that populates these various aircraft, while I'm trying to get out there and minister to the human filth. That
right, we got
funds my
over.
Lust for high-end aircraft.
All right, here we go. This is the audio of him pitching this. He made a video of this.
Yeah. So.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis. Thank you for tuning in to This Week with Jesse. We're going to be talking about aircraft. You know, I've owned three different jets in my life, and I used them and just burning them up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people believe that preachers shouldn't.
Listen to how many times he incorporates the Lord and Jesus Christ into this.
We're going to be. You know, could the Lord give you the power of grammar?
Yeah. Here we go.
Now, some people believe that preachers shouldn't have jets. I really believe that preachers ought to have and go on every available voice, every available outlet to get this gospel preached to the world. Now, I talk about this in a lot of my messages, and I want you to see this if we can, Caleb. Get it back. This is the very first plane that I purchased for the Lord back in December.
The Lord asked me, he said, I need you to purchase the modest aircraft. One engine ought to do it with a decent range, something that's comfortable with a couple of seats and a bed. That's what I need you to purchase. I said, Lord, should we not use this money to feed the poor? He says, we'll get to that.
He bought it for the Lord.
Yeah. Of course he did.
This is the very first plane that I purchased for the Lord back in December 1994. And I said, where I began. And then the second one I purchased was in January 2004. Where I used to be. The one I'm flying right now, and it's been with me 12 years, I purchased it in January 2006, where I am. Now, I want you to get a shot of this one, Caleb. Now, this is the Star Trek.
It's going to crack you up, because this one is just insanely expensive, and the amount of people who could have benefited greatly from the money wasted on this is just off the charts crazy.
And they're showing pictures of them with the camera as they go by.
Now, this is the Star Trek Enterprise. This way I'm going. Praise God.
It's got a transporter and everything. In fact, my next purchase is going to be a spacecraft.
Praise God, what I believe in God for. Let me just say.
Wait, this is what I believe in God for?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
This is what I believe, yeah.
I think he says, praise God, but I believe in gospel.
Oh, okay.
Where I'm going. Praise God, what I believe in God for. Yeah. Let me just say this.
This is what I believe in God for, so I can fly this way around the world.
I believe in God for a brand new Falcon 7X, so we can go anywhere in the world one stop. Now, people say, my Lord, can't you go with this one? Yes, but I can't go at one stop.
Oh! That's it. That's the dilemma.
Wait a second. You mean you're going to have to stop?
There's the kicker.
I'm backing that up. Hang on.
So we can go anywhere in the world one stop. Now, people say, my Lord, can't you go with this one? Yes, but I can't go at one stop. And you see, if I can do it with one stop, I can fly it for a lot cheaper because I have my own fuel farm.
Wait, and that's what's a- you just said, by the way, on this $54 million jet that it has a 5,000-mile range.
Yeah.
That's not flying around the world with one stop.
It's...
This is the way to travel. And I know you have issues at home where you can't feed your children. You know it's hard to cover your bills. But if you ever do get the chance to fly on an aircraft like this, it will open your eyes and make you ask yourself, dear Lord, why don't I have a jet of my own?
Oh, my God. It's the audacity.
Yeah.
The absolute robbing of human beings preying on their faith.
There I was. In zone 3, waiting to load on to the aircraft.
Zone 3.
And I said, dear Jesus, I am surrounded by a sea of human filth that is keeping me from spreading the Lord's word. What can you do for me? Can you hook me up in a 55, $56 million plane? We'll get it done nicely. And I can fly in one stop. And it's also economical.
Is it very economical?
Yes, sir. Lord, it's very economical, and it's great. It's got all that thing, you know, all the tech on it that you'd want. 3-engine jet, 5,000-mile range. So where is he going? I know it's a worldwide ministry, but I was doing a research on worldwide. I'm not seeing a lot of world traveling. You know, they got down there. They got there down in the Cabo San Lucas. They got these young ladies that need to hear the word of the Lord.
I need to see this guy in...
down there, Casey, let me tell you something. The girls have literally gone wild. And they need the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell them that if the tops are coming off, if the tops and pantaloons are coming off, make sure that at some point the Bible opens up.
This is Cabo. Girls gone wild
girls
in Cabo.
Girls gone wild in Cabo. Yeah.
You've seen video.
I have seen video, and I'm distressed. I could get there in one flight.
Uh-huh.
Where is he out of again? Is it Louisiana?
I don't know. It says...
New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah, it says Destrehan, wherever that is. That's in Louisiana.
Look at the... I mean, you just want to punch this guy in the face.
Absolutely.
With all your might.
I kind of want to join him on his jet. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind riding
along. This is my new friend, Kathy Romano. And I believe that the word the Lord would use is bodacious.
Yeah. We're praying together.
Yeah.
I put dildos in my mouth.
And that's why.
That's
akin to saying open sesame. When this fine young, and she's a broadcaster, I want you to know, so she spreads the word herself. But when she said she put dildos in her mouth, I got to tell you, that jet door opened right up.
I put dildos in my mouth.
Sit up front with me, hon.
Yeah.
The jet door opened right up.
Wow. And how many can you fit in there? Praise be.
Praise be.
How? I mean, people believe this. People
of course
buying
they
this.
Do. That's why
do
he's
they?
Got three jets
well, yeah,
already.
So.
They believe him. They hand over money like crazy to this guy.
This, to me, listen, I got there's outlandish dudes like this, but justifying a $54 million expenditure.
Yep.
Just beyond depraved.
All right, hang on a second. Let me play a little bit more.
And you see, if I can do it with one stop, I can fly it for a lot cheaper because I have my own fuel farm.
Somebody texted in. Did you notice he says he has his own fuel farm?
Yeah, I do. I have my own fuel farm.
What is that?
It's a deal that I've made with the Lord.
Yeah.
I think what he's got is basically his own
like oil rig,
gas station, or you know, fueling area for the plane.
Fuel farm, and that's what's a blessing of the Lord. But this one here, I have.
That's a blessing of
it's
the Lord.
It's a blessing of the Lord, seriously. Yep, and exactly. Honestly, the in-flight stereo system is one. In the last one, Preston, we were playing, is that he was the other two guys were literally making the case that the distraction of the people aboard the plane was stopping them from writing their various homilies and their various prayers and all of that stuff, that it was a distraction. Like, the people, so they're going out to minister to people, but they can't stand the people they're flying with.
And I think, Steve, in that clip with him and the other guy. They argued that commercial planes, it says here, were full of, quote, a bunch of demons.
Yeah.
And that it would bog down their busy schedules with prayer requests.
I could see that.
So people asking them to pray
Jesus
for
Christ,
them.
I'm trying to worship Jesus Christ here. You pray, pray for me. I'm sick, I'm sick. Can't you see I'm trying to go help the sick? But I'm sick!
I like how you use Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ.
You pick how I'm using it.
All right, hang on, let me continue on.
But this one here, I have to stop, and then you pay those exorbitant prices for jet fuel all over the world. We've asked the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're believing God. In fact, he told me, Jesse, it was one of the greatest statements the Lord ever told me. He said, Jesse, you want to come up where I'm at? And I said, what do you mean? He said that before you ask, I'll
so
answer.
Isn't God everywhere?
Yes.
Can you only access God at 30,000 feet with an oxygen mask on?
You're closer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you want to come up closer to where I'm at here, way up here in the clouds where the birdies fly?
There's distraction on commercial flights.
I know.
It was one of the greatest statements the Lord ever told me. He said, Jesse, you want to come up where I'm at? And I said, what do you mean? He said that before you ask, I'll answer Isaiah 65:24. I said, yes, Lord. He said, I want
and
you to
And he spaketh thusly, may the jet you use to ascend into the heavens be equipped with the ultimate in radar detection systems. And then Jesus spaketh thusly.
Praise be.
Tonight, one of you will betray me. I hope it is not my pilot.
Me for a Falcon 7X. So I said, okay. But the first thing I thought of was how I'm going to pay for it. And then that great
so
state.
Wait a minute. I'm reminded of what Moses said when he came down from the mountain when he said to the people, and I quote, we are ready to begin pre-boarding.
So is he saying God told him specifically this particular brand?
This is
of
the
jet?
One. All yeah, right, yeah.
Let me play that part back again.
He said, "I want you to believe me for a Falcon 7X." So I said, "Okay."
I want you to believe me for a Falcon.
And he said, "Okay."
Okay.
The yeah. first thing I thought of was, "How am I going to pay for it?"
Preston, he's put up a fight. He's like, really? Couldn't this money be used, oh Heavenly Father, for the feeding and caring of the poor? You need this jet. Yeah. That's what it's saying, you know. You're never going to, because when we get our own Skylab orbiting Earth, you'll be prepared.
Yeah.
But the first thing I thought of was how I'm going to pay for it. And then that great statement that he told me in 1978 flooded into my mind and said, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. Now think about that.
I asked you to believe for it. And then he put his hand up to the side of the mountain and goes, that's what the suckers are for. That's what the suckers are for. And by suckers, it's a people say, oh, that sounds derogatory. It's not. You are my suckers. You are the ones who will provide me with the $54 million I need and my fuel farm. Thank you very much. And my Louis Vuitton luggage.
Well, it is high quality.
It absolutely said, Lord, what kind of luggage? I see so many brands here. You got your Samsonites and your others. And it said, let me tell you something. Let me take care of it. Louis Vuitton. Very durable.
Yep.
And people say, well, can you go knockoff? Was Jesus a knockoff? Was it Jeebus? No, it was Jesus.
Hang on. Jim wants to comment on what a fuel farm is. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right. What is a fuel farm, sir?
A fuel farm is a storage area at the airport where you house large, like, 30 to 50,000 gallon tanks for the jet fuel.
Okay.
You transfer that to a truck and then from the truck to the airplane.
Okay.
Say that they're going to be able to have, you know, if he owns his own fuel farm, he probably owns his own airport.
Yeah. So he's saying that he can, that way he can fuel up and get to where he needs to be.
Within a 5,000 mile range.
Yeah. And back probably.
And back.
That's it, Steve.
That's it.
That's why he needs a jet with that range so he can fly 2,000 miles and back without having to refuel.
That's it. That's clearly it.
Yep.
My round trip time is
cheaper.
Reduced and it's cheaper.
Yeah, that's it.
Listen,
thanks, Jim.
My brothers and sisters, I can save you millions if you just listen to me right now. I can save you millions of dollars, my worthy worshiping suckers.
Somebody texts in and says, how come God can't believe me a new Ferrari?
Well,
that's just ridiculous. And that is very selfish of you because you can't drive that Ferrari around to minister the word of the Lord.
That's right.
As far as I can, this thing has a 5,000-mile range.
All right, this is part two. Let's see what's in this.
All people to know exactly what I'm doing in this ministry. We don't hide nothing whatsoever at all.
I'm sure the books are ready to be reviewed at request.
Yeah.
Blessed man. You're looking at a blessed man. And we never ask you to give something that me and Kathy don't give ourselves. We believe in that. And that's what it's all about.
What, you gave $50 million?
We never ask you to give us something, Kathy. I guess Kathy, talking about you, Kathy.
Yeah, because I go on the jet.
And then I tell you, she does the neatest little trick with dildos.
I put dildos in my mouth.
Exactly, sweetheart. That's why you're flying up in what we call the cockpit.
Yeah.
So think about this. All these, this was paid cash. This was paid cash. This was paid cash.
He's pointing to all the planes. Yeah.
And the new one's going to be paid cash also. Now, let me make
it's harder to trace.
God.
With preferably non-sequential bills.
And these guys are tax exempt, right?
I would imagine. Of course. Yeah. Nick, we're offended you'd even ask that.
This announcement so everybody can understand it. I don't own the plane. This belongs to the ministry. If Jesus tarries and I...
Who flies it the most?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it up for... Is it like here when you win Rock of MMR, you get a parking space for a month?
Yes.
The ministry. If Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, the next person that's going to take this ministry will use that. Just like we use all the different things that are happening
exactly
in our ministry today. In other words, if I go home to be with the Lord, you think the buildings are going to shut down? No. Whoever takes the next this ministry, they're going to use the buildings that we built debt-free. Think about that. And let me just say this. We saved over $20 million.
This is actually saving you money.
Building this complex debt-free. That would pay a lot of money toward that wonderful new 7X. So pray about it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it makes me sick.
It makes you want to vomit.
It does. It absolutely does.
And you know,
and I have to stop short of wishing bad things on this person. I really do.
That's not heavenly like.
No, it's not. And it's not the way I want to live my life, by wishing bad things on people that I don't agree with or don't necessarily care for. But this is just filth.
I mean, and he's in the hallway with the Caleb, get the shot of these. There's all four here in my aircraft.
But don't you see that the people that justify this are saying that he's, you know, he's spreading the word, and you know what I mean?
Well, this day and age, you know, you don't have
Skype.
To, you don't
exactly.
have, you can play.
Skype.
You don't have to be there in person.
Right. Nope. Got to get out there. Listen, I don't want to touch these people. They're filthy. I don't want to go anywhere near that goddamn thing. They got diseases crawling all over the place. What they got their wildebeest and stuff like that.
Like
those people are just filthy, and they believe in all. So. Now, Cabo San Lucas, by the way, that.
They're
just filthy, disgusting people there.
Yeah.
Is he coming here anytime soon? Do we know?
I don't know.
Well, he's going to have a jet, so...
He could get here.
Go wherever he wants.
Heard that there is a lack of faith in the sorority system within Villanova. And I will be checking that out.
You're going to go to Bikini Hill, right?
Absolutely.
Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
So do you think he'll get it? Will he get the jet?
Oh, he'll get it.
Yes, he will.
He'll get
Absolutely.
It.
Without question. I mean, yes. People are mailing their money as we speak.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. So
people doing it who don't have a lot of resources,
right.
Doing it for something that they believe is good, being built by this con artist.
They feel good about doing it,
too. That's the one thing you can take away from it is if they have a moment of feeling good about it, that's good. But hopefully this guy will have a screw up. We need a Jessica Hahn to come out of his past.
Right.
Nick, how many followers were on his Instagram?
I don't think
account?
This is the official one, even though it says official.
I'm at Hope Solo's butthole.
It's 1,300 followers.
Yeah, I don't think
But Laser Wang, at Laser Wang Ministries.
No, that's not it either.
Well, hold on. I saw the top one said Ministries, Jesse Duplantis. Okay. Hang on a second. I am interested as to what...
Duplantis Ministries?
No, this can't be right because it says 93... followers.
Yeah, 93,000.
There's got to be more.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know. That sounds about right. This looks official. So, all right. Anyway,
well, is there anything akin to being verified on Instagram?
Yeah, you get the little blue check in Instagram as well.
So is this the Twitter page we're looking at here?
No, this is Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just laughable. And you're right. You know, and I remember in the first video, Steve, of him and the other guy, they're wearing like gold chains,
Rolexes,
and stuff like that. Rolexes,
yeah.
And that whole deal. So there you go, man.
It's all time right. to build more money.
The video's hilarious. All right. Anyhow.
The audaciousness.
We need to take a break. I want to remind you we have a secret text word today, and it's a ticket to see Game Masters, which is at the Franklin Institute.
I got to tell you about this particular event, Preston. It is very impressive for game fanatic.
And it's till September 3rd, and there's a great video of Steve at the exhibit.
Yes.
Bouncing around like a kid.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, you're going to love it.
There's over 100 playable games of every era. That they have available. So text word secret to 39333. Bounce word back to you. See if you win in a little bit. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, those Wildwood days.
Oh, yeah.
So we were... yes, you played the punch sound effect. Kathy had the story earlier this morning about the scuffle between the police and a drunken underage gal. And you probably saw the video. It was viewed more than 6 million times on YouTube over the weekend.
How many times was Frozen seen?
Good question. Right. But Casey had some observations over the weekend as well down that way.
I'll tell you what, man. Friday and Saturday were just beautiful, beautiful beach days. In fact, Sunday, you got a couple of hours of decent beach time.
I was wondering, because here it was kind of overcast and fairly crappy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was seeing shots of you, and it seemed like the weather was very manageable.
Saturday was just the best day. It was
really
great. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we got up, you know, had a little breakfast, and then made our way down to the beach. We're not psycho beach people that get there at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning and... you know, we definitely take our time because we have all day. You know, we like to kind of hang out and stay at the beach late. I prefer to have 5, 6, 7 o'clock beach time where there's not a lot of people there than 8 o'clock beach time when there's not a lot of people there. But regardless, Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be crowded, you know, at all of the beaches.
And tensions run high.
Right. Well, but the thing I like about Wildwood is the beaches are huge.
They are big, dude.
Really, really big beaches, and so that allows people to have to spread out and have some space and stuff like that. But even with all that beach space, there still is a strip, right? You can follow this strip all the way along the beach where
the Lemming Strip.
Where people tend to sit, and you have to sit off from the surf because the tide comes in, and you're gonna end up having to move back anyway.
Yep.
My wife and I, and my sister-in-law, we were trying to scout a nice location. We were going to sit in one spot, but there was a huge circle of basic bros drinking natural light. So
right,
I said, you know what? Let's move away from these guys. We found a great little plot, sat there. Actually, the water temperature was pretty good, and we were there for a couple of hours, at least 3 hours. I had to go to the bathroom, went to the house, came back. And I have a picture on my Instagram. You can see when I came back, these people, I think it was like 3 girls and 2 guys, sat right next to us. And they sat so close to us. If you can see in this picture, Steve.
So it's Casey right up in the foreground, sort of smiling. And behind him, I can see the handle of your cooler.
Yes. So
which
that
appears
is
to be about 3 feet back from you.
Yes. And when you set up your beach, camp, you have to sort of create your own perimeter. And that's what we did with the cooler and stuff like that. So I have a cooler that has a little handle on it, and you can see that these people, and what you can't see is to,
the left of me or whatever is there's a girl sitting in a beach chair, right?
Right.
So you see one girl sitting behind my cooler and the other girl. I had to like step over them to get into my cooler. And what's ridiculous is right behind all of that.
So just a quick question. Yes. Someone was within your perimeter
mm-hmm.
between you and your own cooler.
They were sitting right next to my cooler. I mean, they were basically touching the cooler. And it
Are
was
you touching my cooler?
When you guys left, did everybody leave?
What do you mean?
You said that earlier.
No, just me.
You were the
I
only
went
one
to the bathroom
okay, yeah.
by myself.
So people in your camp were still there while you were gone.
Mm-hmm. And they moved in.
Can you pipe up?
Yeah.
I'm not down at the beach often. So as someone's laying down their stuff, could you say, hey, can you give us a couple extra feet?
I just kind of laughed it off. You know what I mean?
I would have pissed on.
I didn't necessarily feel like getting into. Well, here's the deal. I didn't feel like getting into any sort of confrontation or whatever. Two. Yeah,
it's like me in the movie theater this
yeah.
weekend. I didn't tell that story on there ever. Go ahead.
Two, you know, they kind of kept to themselves. They weren't loud and rambunctious right. or anything like that. Three, they were playing music. Okay.
Yes.
They had a little Bluetooth speaker. And lucky for them, the music they were playing was decent.
Okay.
You know, but like, I still shouldn't have to listen to your music, you know, whether I like it or
That's
not.
That's the problem with the beach, though, is that, I mean, now the waves and everything will eat up, you know,
it
some of
the sound.
It eats
up a lot of it. I mean, Steve, it really does eat up a lot of it. And if I can hear clearly what your music is, then you're way too close.
So what you did, you said you called the cops on this girl and said she was underage and drinking.
No, but
I love it.
What I did do is I took a picture of it and I tried to get the best picture possible, but it was really, they were so close. It would have been really, really obvious had I taken a better picture.
What's
of them
the best way to protect your perimeter?
Well, I got a lot of recommendations on what
bear
to
traps.
Do. Yeah. Well, you know, you can either. You could play your own music really, really loud, or, you know, you could do a bunch of different. Well, I mean, we probably could have set up a better perimeter, but you shouldn't have to. You know, I know.
See, like, I hate. That's what I hate about this stuff. Like, people on a beach as big as the Wildwood Beach is to punch in like that. I never got that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we found it wasn't hard. It's really not hard. You stand there. You kind of look around. You know, what we'd like to do is we like to put ourselves as close to the lifeguards as possible because our kids like to go swimming and all that.
Hey, is it beach tag season yet, by the way? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Never in Wildwood.
Never, okay, yeah.
Never in Wildwood.
Yeah, it is, though. Right, I think it starts. It might even start.
It wasn't in Cape May.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some
on
of them
Memorial
wait,
Day?
Yeah, some wait until after school ends.
Oh.
To have a beach tag.
So you got, Casey, you got more responses on your post than I've seen ever on anything, and people were very, very vocal about it.
They
and
really were.
With the majority of them saying they were way too close to you?
Yes. I mean, a couple of people put it on me, you know,
yeah.
said it was my fault or I need to lighten up or whatever.
You were enabling.
Yeah. But I wasn't pissed. I just thought it was a little bit ridiculous, and I wanted to make sure that that I wasn't, being ridiculous about it.
Dude, there's 478 comments on your Instagram page.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And I would say 474 of them agree with me that these people are way, way, way
You remember
way
the four that
close.
Weren't,
yeah,
though.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a criticism, but like the four that don't agree with you stick out.
300 of these Sixers general manager.
I think there's a difference, though, when people come onto the beach, and you weren't there, Kay, so I don't know maybe if you know exactly what happened, but if they set up right next to you, like, yeah, come on, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what happens is some people will go down, they'll set up in a spot where there's clearly enough space, and then as more people in their group come to the beach, it mm-hmm. spreads over to you, and now you're basically sitting on top of each other. So it's not necessarily like it was, you know, out of spite, or they did it on purpose, or they
didn't
know. Well,
they could have gone the other way.
I know, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? There's two different
schools of thought.
Yeah. I mean, did they come and just sit right on top of you, or did it kind of grow as the day went on?
Somebody texted me, should have started playing Fish music.
Let's go. Let's get up and go.
I left my Bluetooth music or speaker back at home. I will make sure I have it next weekend.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know what you do in that scenario. It's public property.
Totally
it's a
fine.
Beach. They can sit there if they want to. And I know etiquette-wise, but I mean, when you're in that situation to turn around and go, dude, back it up. You know what I mean?
All right, here's a question. If it was five super hot, instead of just three guys and two girls, it was, you know, a nice
No, I think no matter what, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, and luckily.
You get out of here, you.
You know, luckily, behavior-wise, they were fine.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, I maybe I would have stood up and said something. But because their behavior was fine, the music was fine, I sort of left it as is. But, you know, when I got up to get something out of the cooler, don't you think that, like, when I'm standing right here and looking at you in your, and you know, like, yeah. I was this close to
Casey's
you.
Casey's really close to me right now.
You would go, man, we're a little close here, don't you think? Yeah. You know, don't you want your privacy?
Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Mario, has a an interesting idea. Mario, good morning.
Hey, morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Been a long time, but I got to say it. Big Brown, Guatemala.
Get done by all sorts of people.
I just moved back from Arkansas Wednesday, no joke.
Yeah.
So if you guys take, if you take a king-size sheet, a fitted sheet, you lay that out where you guys are trying to go, you take your cooler, you take whatever heavy on the corners of it, and then flip it up around the cooler, it almost creates like a little half box for
you're
you guys.
You're right. The fitted sheet would do that.
Well, and then that way you create a perimeter.
Yeah, so a fitted sheet has elastic on it.
Yeah.
And he's saying...
You'll create little mini walls.
Yeah, if you put things in the corners, like, you know, let's just say coolers, four coolers, and you pull it up, you pull the elastic up over, it almost makes like a
mini
like,
wall,
a, like a pen.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it keeps the sand out, too.
Well, I don't mind the sand
do
as
it.
Much. Yeah.
It's a twofer.
Yeah, I like it. I like that idea.
Yeah, then, Casey, you don't get to put your toes in the sand, and so
that's
a little bit different. But
we were also
nobody's going to step on a sheet. You know what I mean?
Man. Yeah,
right, that's thanks, a beach Mario. Trick you picked up in Arkansas.
Yeah, hey, know it.
Thanks,
right, thanks, man.
We really didn't set up a great perimeter, and we were kind of traveling light a little bit. We didn't have any beach toys with us. We had just the one cooler, you know, a couple of chairs or whatever. So normally, you know, we'll set up a better perimeter, and I think that gives people, you know, the illusion of like, okay, you know, maybe we need to spread out a little bit. But I mean, it wasn't so crowded that you couldn't find space.
I couldn't deal with that. I would freak out.
Now, what else? You tweeted out about a series of things you saw over the course of 5 minutes.
Oh my God!
What
you know? I was we went out to dinner. Parking was really terrible for dinner, so I had to park, you know, a couple of blocks away. I pulled into a parking lot of a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
And when I was walking, I had my kids with me. So I'm walking with them and we walk past, there's like a 5-year-old girl who was watching her 3-year-old brother. Dad's on the phone. 3-year-old has a mouthful of food and it looked like because there was no wrappers or anything near him. It looked like he picked the food up off the, off the sidewalk.
Right.
Okay. And, so I see this kid with a mouthful of food, and then the dad notices the mouthful of food, and he starts yelling F words at the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
The 3-year-old, like, get that F and blah, blah, blah out of his mouth. And blah. And I'm like, and I'm with my kids, right? So I'm like, let's go, let's keep walking, right? 3 steps past that, there's a dude yakking in between 2 cars. Just yakking. My kids actually didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And then... we get to our restaurant, and it was like a 45-minute wait. There, I see a guy walking up to the restaurant. He had clearly just peed himself. He was wearing light blue shorts, right? And so he, I mean, it was like, there was no way this was a spill.
Yeah.
This dude peed himself, a grown man, probably 40,
right.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
I'm a big fan.
And then... he walks into the restaurant that we're going into. I guess maybe he wanted to clean up or who knows, use the hand dryer. I don't know. So I see him walk in there. And then, I don't know, 30 seconds later or less, he comes walking out and he's cursing. He's pissed off. I guess they didn't allow him to go into the bathroom.
They won't let you in if you're soaked in piss?
I guess not. I guess maybe they frown upon that stuff. And all of this had happened.
No shirts, no shoes, no piss stains.
No piss stains, no service, no dice.
And
that was 5 minutes in my world. and
these aren't things you include in the tourism commercial.
Ooh,
Spit it out! I pissed myself.
These people are too goddamn close.
Then I saw some dude the next night. I was getting takeout, and I saw this dude. It was coming down in buckets, and the dude was leaving the restaurant. It was three of them. He had a poor guy had an umbrella, and he was running. I don't know what he tripped over, but he went down like a ton of bricks.
Oh, no.
Right into a puddle, and it hurt. Right? It wasn't like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Yeah. No, it hurt. He got up, and then he was just standing there, and the people came up to him, like, hey, are you okay? And you could just see in his face, like, oh, God, oh, don't touch. And he was just soaking wet.
Oh, no.
He had a puke.
Yeah. Wow. Marissa?
Casey, you just reminded me of a story that I had forgotten from the weekend. It was Friday night. We were in Dewey, and it was late. It's probably like midnight or so. The bar's closed at 1. And we went to grab a slice of pizza, and I saw one of those guys, like, swaying, eating pizza. It's, like, running down his face.
Oh, no.
So long. It's been good to know you.
He's wobbling.
That guy walks out. We get pizza. We find a bench nearby to sit and eat. And then that guy comes stumbling from around a car where he had just puked. And I can tell because it's all over his face and all over his T-shirt. And is stumbling, you know, and wobbling on the bench right next to us. So he sits down. I'm looking over. I'm like, we got to make sure this guy gets a car. I want to make sure he got an Uber or a Lyft or a cab or something. So I'm concerned.
I don't feel so good.
He's Bill. Oh, my God.
Well, he must have thought.
I got gum all over my face.
He must have thought I was making eyes at him instead, because he stood up from the bench and came right over and sat next to me and my friend.
Well, hello there.
Put his arm right around me and grabbed my ass.
Oh, my God. So this is a dude with puke on his face?
Puke on his face, his shirt everywhere. I flew up and was just like, all right, time to go home.
Wow. Oh, and he blatantly grabbed your ass.
And your friend didn't defend your honor?
Oh, yeah, he did. He grabbed his wrist and, like, squeezed it, and I was already down the block at that point. But, like, that was his move. At 1 o'clock in the morning, hammered, just let me just walk over and grab
your ass.
You
son of a bitch, I'm going to squeeze your wrist.
Get your damn hands off.
You think you're a big man. You won't be so big once I squeeze your wrist.
Marissa, that sucks, man.
Yeah, it wasn't
what
awesome.
A douche.
It's a little flattering, but no, I'm
just a little flattering.
Hey, buddy, how do you like this? That's me squeezing you. What does that feel like? It feels like a tight sleeve, doesn't it?
You got pins and needles yet?
Yeah.
By the way, so
about an hour, you'll lose the control of your fingers.
Said, guys, this crap with idiots happens in every shore town, not just Wildwood. Yeah, I want to point. We're pointing out it's just Wildwood.
On Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend, the stories come fast and furiously, and you know. So starting off with the thing that 6 million views of the girl on the beach and all that stuff, that was just one of countless incidents.
Oh, yeah, Kathy, absolutely. Down in Sea Isle, they had really cracked down on beach drinking. I had read over
you know
the
what?
Weekend.
I read that article. Yeah, they like are not allowing drinking on the beach because it's kind of like, you know, yeah, of course you're not allowed, but put it in the solo cup and you'll be fine. But apparently in Sea Isle, they are not allowing it.
Did you notice a decrease in inebriation on the beach or was it something you couldn't notice before?
No. Not really. I mean, but apparently they were going up and down the beaches and sighting people.
I mean, Kathy's one of the arguments.
Thank God you're finally doing something about this. people here and their families is disgusting.
One of the arguments for beach tags is that Wildwood has free beaches, and that's, you know, people can go, anybody can go, and so. There's an argument that the beach tags keep some of the riffraff off some of the other beaches in New
Jersey.
Yeah,
but you know
that's what I've been trying to tell people in my quest
your jet.
For a $54 million jet. It's the riffraff.
They have meter parking in Wildwood, which is, you know, that's how you alleviate beach tags and stuff like that. So they have parking lots.
They put a slight roadblock to the deal. Listen.
Hey, and the meters are expensive, man.
Are they?
Yeah.
What are they compared to like a beach tag?
Well, I think it's like $2 an hour.
Wait, they don't have meters in other beach towns? They got meters in Cape May.
Do they?
Yeah. I think there's meters all over the place.
Love those meter days.
Hey, 50 cents for 15 minutes?
Wow. Yeah, it's
that sucks.
Pretty steep. I know. And I don't have the app. You can get an app.
Yeah.
On your phone where you can pay for your parking that way.
Where do you get apps these days?
I don't know. But I don't have the app. So I end up having to use a whole bunch of quarters. And I like having quarters in my car.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I just like having...
Hey, kids, come does look
that,
at this!
Does that new Kia have quarters in it?
Oh, I love you, man.
Hey, I also had another... I had another moment in my car where I was like, hey, look at this, guys! Where I was trying to distract my kids.
Okay.
Because my son asked me to play a song by Jason Derulo called Talk Dirty. So I grab it, and I said, hey, this song's got explicit lyrics in it. It has the E next to it. He goes, no, I listened to the radio edit. Mm-hmm. So I found that, and I started playing it, and I'll play a little bit for you.
Get jazzy on.
I'm that flight that you get on, international.
Here, I want to fast forward a little bit.
What the hell are you listening to?
My passport.
Dude.
Make it hard to leave. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me.
And then the lyrics, they bleep out the curses, but then they leave in oral sex, putting your mouth on me, and all the, and I'm like, no! And I'm driving at the same time,
you
right?
You had no idea? I mean, you didn't even think you were going to potentially flirt with that topic?
I didn't.
In the song?
I'd never heard this song
before. Did you think
before?
It was about his golden retriever growing up?
who is this?
This is Jason Derulo.
And what's the song called?
It's called Talk Dirty.
Talk Dirty.
Featuring 2 Chainz, well, Steve, your favorite.
Yeah, there you go. It's called, had a dog named Old Yella.
Did you just turn it off or turn it down?
Well, I couldn't.
This is a teachable moment, kids. It's time to talk about oral sex.
You too busy playing with quarters?
Or? I was too busy, but yeah.
They couldn't hear the song over the rattling of the quarters. You can't hear, Daddy.
The problem was that my brain wasn't thinking fast enough to go, oh, let me just turn this off.
And let me turn it up.
Uh-huh. I was trying to get to a different song.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, oh, my God, you pull my iPad. Hey, you can't listen to this!
Here.
Islands in the stream. There we go. Yeah,
put on the next track, Bunghole.
Yeah, bunghole, bunghole, bunghole.
And who was this person that turned you on to this?
This is my son.
This is your son?
This is my son.
He's like, listen to this,
he
more than likely has heard the unedited version, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Oh, man.
I love it. All right, interesting. Well, those are the stories from the weekend.
Yeah.
That's it. It's
Casey's Wildwood Days. And it all kicked off, of course, with the live broadcast from Kenan's Irish Pub, which was a great freaking time.
Stellar.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this year's broadcast. And if you want to make it out for next year, we will be there again. I'm certain of it. But you got some time to prepare for that one.
Yes.
Hey, I would like to do this right now.
Right now!
Donuts for a year from Dunkin' Donuts. Let's take a big number caller, a larger number caller. Let's take caller 29.
That's
the reason we'll do that is because I'm giving you a $425 Dunkin' gift card for a year's worth of free donuts, and 425 added together.
Love it.
Is 29, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
25 plus 4 is 9.
I thought 4 plus 2 plus 5. I was like, that's not 29.
I meant to take the 25 and add 4 to it because I needed a larger number.
4 plus 2 plus 5 is 29.
No, that's not it. I took 25 plus 4.
Yeah, you're good. I checked.
All right.
I got a calculator.
So
42 plus 5 is 47.
Let's be clear, caller 29.
29.
Gets the year's worth of donuts, 215-263.
It's happening.
Get a free classic donut, by the way, on Friday with the purchase of any Dunkin' beverage. You can choose your favorite and satisfy your donut craving with your favorite classic donut. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer, so caller 29. You get that now. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. We'll have more B-file stories to share with you. We'll come back in a sec with that.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, the Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Lights out from Royal Blood, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Nick just pulled up a picture of one of the band members and apparently got a little beat up at a show. What happened? It says here, he injured his foot during a performance at Boston's Cowling Festival over the weekend, and he has fractured his metatarsal.
Oh, man.
Which has left me, it says, left me fairly debilitated as a result. Despite the injury, I decided to continue with the upcoming shows. That's the Mike in the band. So that's like a like an upper toe bone in your foot, I think, is where that is. Meta what was it?
Metatarsal, yeah.
Metatarsal. All right, well, good luck to you, Holmes.
They carted him off in an ambulance.
What?
Yeah. Ow. I wonder what happened. Let's take a look at traffic, see what's going on. Our final look. Kathy, what do you have for us?
We've got delays on 95 northbound from Columbus Boulevard to the Vine Expressway. A slow moving maintenance crew has the two left lane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. All right, Bizarre File, let's go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts this summer. Dunkin's got ice cream-inspired iced coffee in the flavors you love. Pistachio, cookie dough, and butter pecan. Stop by Dunkin' today. What's your flavor? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. We'll start with this. Apparently Mother Nature likes a good laugh every now and then. Last week, Nebraska wildlife officials untangled six squirrels that somehow got their tails in a knot.
Yeah, I saw this.
Six of them. Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, those animals are so freaked out all the time.
Super kinetic.
Yeah. The rehab group took the group of squirrels and gave them each an anesthetic.
It's like a nature, what do they call it, a spinner, fidget spinner?
Yeah. Veterinarians covered them with a towel to keep them calm then untangled the tails like a knotted ball of twine. The process took over an hour, and they report that the eight-week-old animals were sticky with tree sap when they got tangled. All six are doing fine, but some parts of their tails were damaged while stuck together and are going to require a little bit of surgery. They're expected to be released back into the wild in a few weeks.
That's got to be a 1 in 1 trillion chance of that happening.
Yep. All right, so that's kind of a fun story. This is a very disturbing story. More than 150 headstones were spray-painted with swastikas at a southwest Illinois cemetery overnight as the cemetery was getting ready to honor those who died while serving the military for Memorial Day. Grounds crews discovered the vandalism Saturday morning at the Sunset Hill Cemetery. Mark Johnson, the cemetery grounds superintendent, said the Nazi symbol was spray painted in black on 150 to 200 headstones, as well as an old office building and the mausoleum. Johnson said he was hurt and upset by the incident, adding that it was unfortunate that it happened just before Memorial Day. The cemetery is a resting place for more than 1,300 veterans, and each year cemetery officials hold a celebration to honor the veterans. Swastikas were also found on a concrete wall, 8 homes, and 2 cars in a neighboring residential community.
That's an insane amount of damage.
It's crazy, and I saw the pictures of it. It's like somebody was literally running, just doing one after another after another after another. One suspect, a 34-year-old man, has been taken into police custody, and further information is going to be released as criminal charges are filed. Effed up people, man. Just absolute idiots. All right, on to other things. There's video of a moment that the wax whisperer removes a chunk of earwax that left a woman deaf in one ear.
Oh, my God.
The stomach-churning clip shows Neil Rathava, who runs a hearing clinic in England, pulling out the earwax, which had been in there so long that it caused a fungal infection.
That's disgusting any way you look at it.
Rathava, who calls himself the Wax Whisperer, said the
clump... They call me the Wax Whisperer. I do what I do.
The clump of wax was so large, the woman was no longer able to wear her hearing aid, as it caused it to whistle and squeal.
Say, what's that in your ear?
Neil said that it would be impossible to self-remove. The client in this case wore a hearing aid, which can cause earwax buildup as it can prevent the natural migration of earwax out of the ear canal.
Have you ever had your ears irrigated?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It's bizarre.
You suddenly get like a rush of hearing ability.
Yeah, and when they're shoving that, when they're squeezing that water in there, it is the loudest thing you've ever heard. But he said regular use of earwax drops and avoiding using cotton buds can sometimes help prevent a buildup of earwax. The infection usually causes discharge, inflammation, scaling in the ear canal, and severe pain. And he said also, Kathy, you'll love this too. Mm-hmm. There was some offensive odor from the ear.
Ooh, smelly ear and discharge.
God, your ears stink.
Your discharge is very smelly.
Oh, God.
Your discharge is very smelly.
I could not but notice that your discharge was very smelly.
It took around 10 minutes because he said I had to be very delicate when peeling the dead infected skin off the ear canal and eardrum.
Mm. He said, anybody hungry?
It usually takes half the time. It was very rewarding, he said, in that I was able to help the client and she was very depressed that she couldn't hear. The left ear completely deafened, and the client was also unable to wear her hearing aid as the earwax built up and infection was causing it to whistle and squeal. The woman needed to follow up appointments with her doctor to treat the fungal infection.
Yeah, get rid of that fungus now.
Mm-hmm. Two women escaped death last week when their SUV plunged down a 300-foot embankment and into the Russian River.
That's astonishing.
The car, which was driven by a 20-year-old woman from Las Vegas, was going southbound on Highway 101 when the driver lost control of the car and it cartwheeled down a cliff and into a river. So it didn't just... It didn't roll down on its tires. Yeah, it cartwheeled. The sedan was mostly submerged in the river. The women had just enough air and room to get out of the car. They then swam to shore and crawled up a cliff to get help. The SUV landed upright on a rock in the river, and surrounding the rock was very deep. A fatal crash had occurred just 20 feet away from this particular one.
Well, you got to pick your rocks.
Paramedics gave medical aid to both the driver and the passenger and treated them for hypothermia as well. Wow.
We were both wearing thick sweaters.
Yes, sorry. And I'll wrap it up there. That's what I have in the... You know what? No, one more
story. No, one more.
One more, because this was a story you probably saw over the weekend. The father of a little boy whose life was saved by an illegal immigrant in France was playing Pokemon Go at the time. Did you see this guy that called Spider-Man?
Yeah. Climbed up the side of the building.
It was amazing.
Yes.
Lawyers said the man left his son alone while he went shopping and returned later than planned as he got carried away with the smartphone game. In the meantime, the 4-year-old boy almost fell to his death from the 4th-floor balcony of the family's home. However, he was saved by Mamadou Gassama, an illegal immigrant from Mali, who risked his own life to climb the block of apartments and rescue the boy. The hero has been hailed as France's real-life Spider-Man and has been offered citizenship in France by President Macron. But the boy's father has been arrested and could face jail time for leaving the boy in potentially a dangerous situation. So he left the kid alone. That's what happened.
He was a dummy.
He was detained overnight for allegedly parental neglect and is due to appear in court in September. The circumstances surrounding the child's mother are unclear.
Did you see the footage, Kathy?
No, I didn't.
Here's the dude
climbing up
now. He's climbing up the side of the building on the balconies.
Yeah, he climbs up 4 of these. It's amazing. I mean, he has tons of upper body strength.
Yeah.
And like it's nothing.
And we're watching it right now. And he gets up, man. And then he one-handed pulls the kid over before he even gets completely in there himself. Wow. He just reaches over, snags him, boom. Saved the kid's life. It's pretty amazing. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment or two. We'll have a lesson question. We'll see if you've listened to the show, if you've been paying attention. By the way, Hallahan Catholic Girls High School, you're the one that's voting for the coolest teacher of the year. text the teacher. Follow. Let's try this again. Text word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number. Good luck to you. We'll be back in a moment.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Hey, can I get the name of our Dunkin' Donuts winner? I forgot to ask for that.
Yeah.
I would like to find out who's going to get a freaking year of donuts, because that's a pretty beefy-ass prize.
Absolutely. It's a crap load of donuts.
And we want to remind you that Friday is National Donut Day, and we have a free classic donut available at Dunkin' Donuts with the purchase of any Dunkin' beverage. And our winner of that is Jim Belicki, who is from Wilmington, Delaware.
Nice. Belicki gonna likey.
Belicki likey with a $425 gift card, good for free donuts for a year from Dunkin' Donuts.
Excellent. So
congratulations, yeah. Belicki. Hope you likey. Let us do the lesson question. And, man, I was I wasn't paying attention. I didn't look at him yet. We are going to give away a Blu-ray combo pack of Annihilation.
Well, I just watched that over the weekend.
The director of Ex Machina does this. What's it about?
Pretty cool. Well, there's a space that forms on Earth of like an alien environment. It's starting to convert.
It's
all women. Some soldiers and scientists go in to see what the F is going on.
Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman, okay, yes. Yeah.
All right, so let me see. The Swingers Club, Club F, is right next to what other sex club? 215-263 WMMR. I like that. The Swingers Club, Club F, is right next to which other sex club? Now, you had to have been listening in order to win this, so hopefully you know the answer because you heard it earlier. 215-263 WMMR. Call right now, and while we are awaiting your phone call, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning's brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Excuse me. Well, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry heading got a little throat bubble there. Let's see if we can clear that out. Done. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry heading to Canada for their royal honeymoon. The couple plans on heading scenic Alberta and then over to Montreal because the Queen told them that's where the best strip clubs are.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Scott Disick turned 35 Saturday and spent the occasion with his 19-year-old girlfriend, Sophia Richie, on St. Bart's. Sophia's dad, music legend Lionel Richie, admits he's had a hard time dealing with the relationship, but feels much better about it now that he's hired a hitman. And finally, Blac Chyna claiming in legal documents that her show Robin Chyna was canceled by E! Because the Kardashians strong-armed the network. The Kardashians issued a statement denying the allegations, noting that having Robin Chyna on air made their show look like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer. The Swingers Club, Club F, is right next to which other sex club? 215-263-WMMR. It's Russ that I have on the line. Hey, Russ. Oh. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
All right, Russ, what's the next to Club F?
It's the Big D.
The Big D. Yeah. You got it, buddy. Hang on a second, Russ. And we are going to take care of you with a Blu-ray combo pack of Annihilation from the director of Ex Machina. Comes one of the year's most critically acclaimed thrillers, Annihilation. Starring Natalie Portman and Oscar Isaac. Now on Blu-ray and digital, rated R from Paramount Pictures. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
All right, this morning's brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Create the backyard of your dreams during Sequoia Outback's annual Memorial Day sale on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. So, Francis Bean Cobain's ex-husband, Isaiah Silva, is reportedly suing Francis's mother, Courtney Love. Now, Silva claims that Love entered into a conspiracy with several people to break into his home, beat him up, kidnap him, and try to murder him so they could gain possession of Kurt Cobain's legendary guitar.
And is it his contention that all that is illegal?
Well, yes, it is. The guitar in question is the acoustic guitar that Cobain played in Nirvana's MTV Unplugged session in 1994. He won possession of it as part of the divorce settlement with Frances, claiming that she gave him her father's guitar as a gift while Frances attempted to get it back, calling it a priceless family heirloom. Now, Silva's lawsuit alleges that in the early hours of June 3rd of 2016, one-time Britney Spears manager Sam Lufty,
yeah,
and two other men burglarized, robbed, assaulted, sexually battered, kidnapped, and attempted to murder him in his West Hollywood home.
But so, he foiled them, Preston. He had big swinging cans of paint on strings. Oh. He let his pet tarantula out.
He heated up the doorknob. Yeah.
The whole deal.
I do remember him thwarting it that way. Silva claims...
Oh, he froze the front porch, too, in the steps.
Did they make a documentary about this?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Silva claims that the men were masquerading as police, saying that Lufty grabbed his genitals, called him a homophobic slur, and threatened to rape him.
Mm.
Both he and his
mother...
That
doesn't seem like a police procedure.
...were injured in the incident. Silva is also claiming that Lufty supplied Love and Francis with drugs. He is seeking unspecified damages. This is the first that I've heard of anything like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we knew they were pissed because it is a family heirloom. Yeah. It was given specifically to her by her dad. But to make the divorce finally happen, mm-hmm. she said, have it.
Ghost frontman Tobias Forge says that the character he currently plays in the band, Cardinal Copia, has the potential to follow in the footsteps of Forge's three previous personas and become Papa Emeritus IV in the band's occult mythology. Forge explains to Revolver, the cardinal is not the boss. He's just the toastmaster. A cardinal is junior to a pope figure.
Yeah, he's got it down.
He said, we still have Papa Emeritus, but he's passing on. He needs to teach the cardinal to become a pope to earn his skull paint. Forge added that it was always part of the plan to throw in a new character between papas, saying there was going to be a moment in time.
Yeah, there's always sort of a latency period between papas.
He said when you have to sort of chew through a little bit of an underdog person that you might not like. So
when does Rabbi Rick Tobin show up?
He said, with this character, we end up with this character that I'm not even fond of myself.
Huh?
He's new and he's an imposter and he hasn't proven himself yet. But if he does, he will become Papa Four.
Papa Four. What about Papa Boner?
Maybe that's a good one, right?
Papa Boner.
Remember the audio of him at the end of the barbecue? It's like, is this, do you call yourselves Philly? Or do you
do you like the kind of cheese sticks? Do you like pata chips?
Yeah.
My name is Papa Cheese Stick. And since there's Papa Smurf. And anyway, I'm a ghost. Yeah, ghosts can be scary.
He didn't sound like you would think a character.
But the music in general is not.
No, yeah.
Yeah. People think it's going to be like thrash metal, but it's not.
You have that?
Yeah.
Is this it? Okay. What do you call yourself?
How do you want to be addressed, by the way? Is it Philly or what? Are you guys from Philadelphia?
Huh?
Or are you from New Jersey? A little bit of both, then.
Both.
I see. Well, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'll just call you Camden, okay? You're fine with that?
So, a Jew, a Catholic, and a Muslim going to a bar.
The Forge founded the band. Of course, he's played all three papas as well as the cardinal, while the musicians behind him perform as the anonymous nameless ghouls. The previous three papas, by the way, have been murdered. And their corpses are on display at ghost shows.
That's just crazy, huh?
Isn't that nuts?
Hmm. Took that from Ann Murray.
Greta Van Fleet reunited last Wednesday night with 87-year-old Gretna Van Fleet, the woman whose name the band borrowed for themselves with a small alteration. Van Fleet and her husband Dale were invited to join the band at its sold-out show.
Who are you again?
At the Fillmore Detroit.
What are we here for? What's your name? What do you do?
Meeting up with the members for the first time in 5 years.
What is that? Jebna Dandit?
She told Billboard they've matured. I'll say that. It was mostly glad to see you again and congratulations on their accomplishments and so forth.
I have to go to the bathroom.
She said we had seen the parents in between.
I've pooed in my pants.
But not the boys. Oh, I hadn't met the drummer yet, so it was nice to meet him, she said.
What do you do again?
Bassist Sam Kiesga revealed that their previous drummer's grandfather came up with the idea for the name, saying...
Where's my sandwich?
Saying that they were at breakfast and his grandpa told him...
Who?
that he needed to go cut wood for for Gretna Van Fleet. He heard it and thought, that's an interesting name.
Yeah, wait, is that on the TV?
Kiska continued and said, I think that it was Josh who said, let's drop the N of Gretna, so it's Greta Van Fleet, and that rolls off the tongue better, and I think it's an interesting name because it's different.
I have a bath you can sit up in.
And that's
well, that sounds nice.
You got a door on it?
Yeah, it's got a door, but it doesn't leak. Who are you?
So they named it after her. And
who?
Gretna Van Fleet.
Yeah, Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's it.
We're moving on.
YouTube bassist Adam Clayton spoke about the band's decision to sideline any songs from its 1987 classic, The Joshua Tree, following the band's recent 30th anniversary tour behind the album. They're going to be in town June 13th and 14th at the Wells Fargo Center, but you will not hear any music from The Joshua Tree at this particular show. On Sunday,
we're sick of it.
On Sunday, Clayton and the rest of the band recorded a live acoustic version of their new song, Love is Bigger Than Anything, It's Way, in Nashville at Jack White's Third Man Records, with the song set to be issued as a limited edition vinyl release. I have a little clip of that here if you'd like to hear that. I assume this is just somebody has their phone and they're recording.
I think so. It's just stripped down.
Yes. What's that again?
Stripped down.
How? What is it?
Stripped.
Okay, gotcha.
Down.
I think I'm in the wrong room. I'm looking for Gerber Dandy.
If I could, I would come to. But the path is made by you. As you're walking, start singing and stop talking.
Yeah, it must be somebody
walking and talking
with their phone and
singing and swinging.
Not the actual mics recording that.
Yeah, make sure you don't get it on the microphones.
Clayton talked about putting the band's most iconic songs on ice for their new tour, telling Rolling Stone, I think that we're all excited about the idea of not delving back into the Joshua Tree because that's because Joshua Tree has cast such a big shadow over everything that we've done. We felt that by doing that tour, that we, to an extent, had laid that to rest for the moment. There will be another time to come back to that material, but I think that we had always said when we're doing those shows, and this material seems relevant to the time that we are living in now.
And there's more than enough material to fill up a concert without doing anything with the Joshua Tree.
They have all those great albums, and they got plenty to pull from. He had said that the band feels, though, they gave the Joshua Tree the love and respect it deserved the last time around. He said, I think if we hadn't done Joshua Tree, we'd have felt like we needed to observe that for people. But I think having played Joshua Tree so successfully across the country, our attitude was quite hard line. We would like people to pay attention to the last couple of albums because we feel they are very eloquent. We worked really hard for those songs. So they're going to be playing more current stuff, but I would imagine they're going
to
play.
Gives everyone a chance to go to the bathroom.
I would imagine that they will play a few of their other iconic songs from different albums. And then lastly, we played a clip of this earlier, but Weezer unveiled a cover of Toto's 1982 hit Africa. The band recorded the song after a 14-year-old fan named Mary, whose Twitter account is Weezer Africa, lobbied for months to get the group to cover it. At first, Weezer cut a version of a different Toto tune, which was Rosanna, but ended up doing its own take on Africa as well.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it here. I'll play a little bit of that for you while I continue this story.
I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten.
Fully know what the words are.
He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Always good heart. Always have good harmony in Weezer.
It's gonna take a lot to take me away from you. There's nothing that a 100 men no more could ever do. I press the reins down in Africa. Gonna take some time.
What do you think, Nick? You're smiling.
I just realized the line in the song that I'd never realized before.
What line was it?
It's going to take 100 men or more. I always thought it was 100 men on Mars.
100 men on Mars. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Not that.
Nope.
It's gonna take men on Mars.
Other men on Mars can never do.
Because I thought they were powerful Martians.
Yeah.
And sure. They were, you know, that'd
well,
be a lot.
Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah. Well, we know that Wakanda.
Right.
And I always thought it was.
And that was alien influence.
I always thought it was I faced the rains down in Africa, not I blessed the rains down in Africa.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I blessed the rain.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was Africa. I thought it was Camden.
Yeah. I thought it was Bleps the Rain.
I bleps the rain down in Clampettville.
Yeah.
Okay, learning
to take 100 Martians or more in special spacecraft. Not that long ago, I went and I looked at the lyrics for Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
90% of that stuff I didn't know.
You were way off?
I was just singing gibberish because the words are weird. They're really, really strange.
It's about a guy and the fascination with Benny, who is apparently like a asexual sort of rock star.
Yeah.
He's got electric boots and a mohair suit.
Yeah, I knew that part.
She has an army on Mars.
But there's there's lines about... now I forgot it. Oh. Hey, kids.
Rain in Africa.
No. Shake it loose together. Spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. We'll kill the fatted calf tonight. Like, did you ever know it was the fatted calf?
So stick around.
Yeah.
You're gonna hear electric music
sounds of walls
of sound.
Solid walls of sound.
Don't ruin it.
Oh, now do we have to do this?
Yes, we do.
Because it's got a long intro.
I don't care. It's a great song.
We have a long intro.
One of my all-time favorite songs.
Great.
Suck it,
piano.
All right. We're gonna sing this?
Yes.
Right. Hey, kids, shake it loose together. Spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. Now, this is really helping.
We'll kill the fatted cat tonight, so stick around.
Wow, that's great.
You're gonna hear electric music, solid walls of sound.
Yeah!
Say, Candy and Ronnie, have you seen them yet? Oh, but they're so spaced out. Benny and the Jets. Even Kathy got in on that.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're weird and they're wonderful.
Oh, man, she's a really cane. She's got electric boots.
I'm all head suit.
She got from today's man. You're gonna like the way you look.
You never seen a mohair jacket?
Yeah.
Probably.
They were picking the
like a tan 60s, color.
70s.
Yeah, mohair suit. Well, that was special. They're not doing Joshua Tree.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was doing the Wizards.
Damn it.
But to recap.
But.
Right. All right.
To recap, no Joshua Tree songs on the U2 tour. By the way, Weezer is supposed to release its self-titled Black Album sometime this year.
Looking forward to it.
After postponing it from a May revival. Always happy to hear new Weezer music. And that's it. That's what I have for you music news this morning. Let's take another break. What you got, Case? You look like you're going to hand me something. Oh, secret text word. Chop, chop. Secret text word. Kathy, I need a number. Call her, please.
Six.
Call her six. Two up.
Wait a minute.
All right, here you go.
Wait a minute.
Okay, we got to do this. We have to do this. No, it's just the...
That was funny, right, Kat?
Yes.
Yes.
She's writing in her journal.
That was just for us. No, it was. That was for everybody.
Yeah. Everybody.
That was sick.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right.
Me.
Yeah, we're taking a break. And we need caller number six.
Sex. On the sick Wednesday.
Who knows the secret text word? 215-263-WMMR. When I get back, we have a trip to California that we're going to give away on Friday. So only three letters for the Word of the Week prize. We'll be back with that in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa. Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
So we had solicited for our caller for the secret text room. We had our caller on hold, all ready to go to them. And
made sure that they did indeed have the correct answer. They did, but we lost. It was Brian. So it was a dude named Brian. But Brian got it right. And Casey, what was the official secret text word?
It was snake eyes.
Snake eyes.
So he is going to win along with our random texter. And that random texter is James Bakers of Oxford, PA.
Yeah.
And we're going to give him tickets for Game Masters, the exhibition featuring over 100 playable games from every era of video game magic. Game Masters, the exhibition, powers up at the Franklin Institute now through September 3rd. So
well worth seeing, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to make it over.
You'll enjoy it, especially the first walk into what is a recreation of an 80s-style arcade in a mall.
I love that.
Yeah.
That would bring back some great memories, absolutely. Let's see, we have Pierre Robert in attendance. Welcome back, sir, from the holiday weekend. Quick question, did you work yesterday or were you off like we were?
I was off like you were.
Why is that mic so quiet?
What the hell's going on, Pierre?
I was off like you were.
There we go. I've got it cranked all the way up. It's just the level is a little bit low.
I was off! Like yes. Who? Yes.
Like you were!
Hey, so we were in North Wildwood doing our party there. Then we handed over the reins to you at Margaritaville in Atlantic City. Did you have a good time?
It was great.
What a beautiful day, right?
Man, it was so perfect. It was just like, you know, I came out of the parking garage and I could hear that craw, craw, you know, or whatever that seagull sound is that they make.
It's like a caw.
No, it's none of those. No, but you know that seagull sound they make?
It's a little bit more of a screech or, yeah.
One of those things. That's the
like
dolphin.
A dolphin, yeah.
Anyway, and I instantly knew it was summertime at the beach.
Yeah.
And it was so we were right on the boardwalk the whole time, and at the very end we stretched the capacity of our microphones, and I was able to put my feet in the water.
Oh, you did it, yeah.
And broadcast for a few moments, and then it was right back down to Wildwood for Jackson and Sarah. And a great time that they had. So, I mean, we covered the Jersey Shore up one side and down the other.
On a perfect day.
On a perfect day.
Loved it.
Your thing, it's just like, oh, my God. It just sounded, and we had some people come up from Wildwood.
God bless them.
Yeah, who were, you know, really great and loyal listeners of your program and my program and the whole station. And, you know, I said, you survived. And they go, you wouldn't believe what it's like being in that place. And I listened to it all the way down. And I'm going, it's just, I was floored by it. And then I don't know if they're all a group effort, but I know that you, Preston, have the ability to manifest bar games, the likes of which I have never seen or heard before. And it's just like, where did that one come
from? Well, we all collectively sit down and come up with those, you know, but we kick around ideas and eventually settle on the ones that we want to go with.
There's so many cool bar games.
Thanks.
And
it's a wholly different show than what is, you know, I mean, we're putting on a stage show and then we want to convey it, make it enjoyable for the people listening. So you walk that tightrope.
Right. Well, I was a listener and I got the vibe of it.
Good.
You know, and it totally put me in a weekend frame of mind. So
nice.
It was perfect.
Excellent, man. All right. Well, listen, we have this trip to give away. It's another trip to California.
Yep.
And this is only three letters.
Yep.
So it's a good one. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
B as in Benny.
All right. Perfect. And we have a trip for two to the premiere of WB's Tag, which is on Thursday, June 7th in Westwood, California. So keep that in mind. It's next Thursday. And the Tag Ensemble cast includes Ed Helms, Jake Johnson, Annabelle Wallace, Hannibal Buress, Isla Fisher, Rashida Jones, Leslie Bibb, John Hamm, and Jeremy Renner. And it's in theaters June 15th, rated R. So we give that away next week.
Yes, and we're at the end of this week. We are sending intern Mars.
I'm sorry, the trip is next week. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Mars is going?
Yeah, Mars is going to be out there.
Oh, cool.
Yes, he's going to do the red carpet and the
interviews, and all,
interviews
that.
And all that, too.
She's a broadcaster. Should do perfect.
Hey, can I do a quick thank you? I meant to do this earlier, but I didn't want to go throughout the whole morning without saying thank you to Michael Barkan. Had me out at his golf outing yesterday at the Woodcrest Country Club, and all the proceeds went to the Barkan Foundation, which is a great foundation. You know, it's for anybody that suffers from, like, a a tragic incident,
right?
So, you know, so somebody, you know, dies from a heart attack or you know, has to miss work, you know, to be at the hospital, you know, they will pay, you know, funeral expenses.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really great organization. So I wanted to thank Michael Barkan, Mark Maggi as well. Got to say hi to a couple of Bucks County girls, Kathy.
Yes.
I promised Dana and Jen Mooney that I would say hi as well. I got to meet Jason Peters of the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, which is really, really cool. And Ricky Vitalico says hi to everybody.
Yeah. Cool, man. Excellent. Pierre, what's on the program today?
On the program today, we have a cool archive selection that we continue after our 50th technical birthday, but the party goes all year long. And so we've extended the archives every day from Monday through Friday. And today we will take you back to 1998, July 14th, Bastille Day, in fact, for Days of the New. We'll tell you more about it as we get closer. We have a workforce block of Led Zeppelin, a Weezer block, and a Peter Gabriel workforce block. So it should be a fun afternoon with us.
I love it. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And
okay. Letter.
It's happening.
Quickly.
What's happening?
President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Let's see. Also brought to you by, and thank you, by the way, Dunkin' Donuts for dropping off the donuts today. And don't forget that Friday is National Donut Day. And
yes.
If you stop by a Dunkin' Donuts, you get a free classic donut with the purchase of any Dunkin' beverage. Okay. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Sergeant Scrap, attention tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at sgt-scrap.com. Tomorrow on our program, Tammy Pescatelli.
Yay!
She will be joining us. We've had Tammy by before, so that'll be cool. And I'm sure we got other things. Don't forget Hallahan in Philly. You are voting today for the coolest teacher, and we'll find out tomorrow morning who that is. You have until tomorrow to text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per number. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I love my fiance and in 20 days, soon to be husband, Jeff. All I gotta say to you, though, is please wake the f*** up in the morning and throw the damn cake up in the trash.
Next message.
One of these years, I'm coming with all my teacher friends. We're taking off and we're coming to Expo Tech. But for now, all I can do is listen to Kathy go, oh, as this girl is getting her hair cut off. Yo, you're my f***ing heroes.
Next message.
I just listened to the podcast about the Ganny and Laurel thing. I thought that whole thing was a huge gag on the internet. I rewound that audio about 20 times, and I heard about 20 different things. Stop with me anymore!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.